The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos!
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Artard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium Media Day, which means really the only difference is that it's free pizza. No, there'll be Coach conference calls with the opposing team and a bunch of other stuff, but this is the place to be right here, PFW in Progress, for the next 2 hours. We're going to be talking everything that has gone on in the last 24 hours, and it's significant. There is big news coming out of Gillette Stadium. Obviously, the biggest is that Dean Branch is back with the team. He was signed yesterday and holding pressers in the locker room as we speak. The guys will be here momentarily. So Dion Branch is back in the fold. Also signed is Kellen Winslow. So he was signed yesterday, as well as Nico Koutavidis. So Patriots shuffling things up, and obviously the loss of Aaron Hernandez for the indefinite future makes the Branch move and the Winslow move necessary. So that's something we'll talk about, what all that means. How does the offense change now that Hernandez is gone? And, you know, what does it mean that they brought in Branch, who's a wide receiver? How does that affect the offense? How do you think that the offense will look this weekend going into Baltimore? Also, we're going to talk about Brian Waters. Shalise Manzi-Young had a story that the Patriots offered him a significant pay raise, but he just didn't want to do it, which, you know, kind of, you know, lends into the whole story about him wanting to stay in Texas. So that's understandable. You know, probably he doesn't want to play football unless he's playing in Texas. So that's Brian Waters. And we will revisit the whole Wes Welker thing, get the latest. A lot of people wrote about it yesterday, so we'll talk about all that. Paul's here. Just came from the locker room. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Freddie.
What's going on?
Just finished up with Dion.
Yeah, what's he have to say? Happy to be back?
Yeah, and I don't think he had much doubt that he would be. You know, we talk a lot about and we make light of the whole locker thing. You know, the locker stays intact. But to me, it's not about the nameplate staying over. It's what's in the locker.
Right.
You know, Brian Waters' locker was intact throughout the summer, throughout the preseason. But there was nothing in it but a practice shirt.
Helmet.
You know, nothing.
Not even a helmet?
Dion Branch, when he got cut, not only the nameplate stayed over the locker, but, you know, there were family photos, his flip-flops, you know,
right.
Shorts, you know, personal items that clearly if he right. didn't think he would ever be back, he wouldn't have left here. So he talked a lot about he had opportunities. He had a lot of calls.
Really?
From a lot of teams, and he didn't want to move his family. And he knew he was going to keep playing football, but he wanted it to be here, and he wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be here before he moved on.
Right.
He knew he would play at some point in 2012. He just didn't know exactly where. He was hoping it was here, and obviously it's going to be.
It's interesting. He said he had a lot of interest from other teams.
Yeah, he didn't say specifically what the teams were, but he said he had calls, and he didn't want to uproot his family. He told a funny story, actually, about one of his daughters. I think she's around first grade age, maybe kindergarten.
I think Blanche.
No. Blanche Branch.
That's not her name.
Sometimes you just crack me up. I don't know why. I apologize. But she said, you know, when he got cut, you know, the last time he left New England, he went to Seattle. He got traded to Seattle. So when he got cut and he went home and he said, I'm not playing for the Patriots anymore, she immediately said, Daddy, does this mean we have to go to Seattle? Yeah. And he just started laughing. He's like, no, it doesn't mean, you know, I'm not going to Seattle.
Right.
So I think, you know, uprooting the family was a big part of it. And, you know, listen, honestly, he probably had some conversations with Bill. Listen, it's not going to be all year.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to need you at some point. Hernandez goes down.
But it's hard to go without that paycheck.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, but Hernandez goes down and he get an opportunity to come back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, the question is, when Hernandez comes back, then what happens?
Or, you know, does something happen to him or somebody else?
Sure, that's
true.
You
know, who knows? You know, my guess is Winslow would go at that point.
So, you know, Winslow's in, Branch is in. You know, is this all strictly as a result of Hernandez going down?
Well, yeah.
So, you know,
No, I think if Hernandez was healthy, if nothing happened to Hernandez on Sunday, I don't think these moves.
Right. So, are we saying that in order to replace this tight end, we need to bring in a wide receiver and a tight end?
Well, I think they're going to, I don't think that they feel like they can do what they wanted to do.
Right. That's kind of my point.
Yeah.
So let's go back to having.
But if, like this week, I wouldn't expect Winslow to be able to do much. He's just gotten here.
Right.
He's got a whole playbook to learn in a week. But in 3 weeks, he might be Hernandez. And then maybe you wouldn't need Branch at that point.
Now, was Winslow with the Browns when Mangini was there?
Winslow was, I don't think so. He may have played for Mangini, but I don't think he played for Dable.
Okay.
You know, the year that Dable was the offensive coordinator.
I'm just trying to know.
Unless he was on IR.
I'm just trying to think what he might know about our system.
Yeah, or, I mean, there was a year that Brian Dable was the offensive coordinator with Mangini, at least 1 year. Maybe he did play in the system with him.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Actually, I hadn't thought of that. That's relevant. Maybe he did play a little bit, but it's much different.
Yeah.
Much different.
Yeah. So,
because I don't think the Patriots system, when Brian Dable was here, accentuated the two tight ends the way it does now.
Yeah. Well, how could you? I mean, you need to have those two guys.
No, but I'm saying they didn't play. I mean, they had two tight ends. I mean, they had Watson and Graham, but they didn't run the same, you know,
predominant
two tight end attack that they do now.
Kudavidi's also signed.
Nico Suave is back. Yes, he is.
And who'd they let go? They let go
Greg Salas. Yeah. 18 days. We hardly knew him.
Right.
Mike Rivera, my buddy Bombo.
Yeah.
And the other guy was, help me out, Andy. Who's the third guy that was released? Why can I not think of the third guy?
You can think into the mic, Andy. Salas.
Rivera.
Rivera and.
Oh boy!
Wow, we are the information guys.
No, I
don't know why I can't think of it.
I can't think of it. One of our strippers will tell us.
This is one of our worst ever.
Yeah. Andy, what do you read into Branch and Winslow being signed as a result of Hernandez going down?
Well, I told Paul earlier. I think there's a chance that I think a lot of people think the role is being divvied between the two. I'm not sure that's the case. I think the first.
Yes, Lex Hillard.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
I think this week you could see Branch get a lot of play because he was here as recently as 2 weeks ago. And then I think you could see that peter off as Winslow gets into the system. I think Winslow is the guy that's replacing Hernandez. I mean, it's the same kind of tight end. If you look at it, you signed, despite all the red flags about his knee, a more durable version who's played 16 games 3 years in a row and, you know, five of the last six or something like that. Same kind of production, 75 receptions. I mean, it's the perfect fit in terms of build, ability, maybe a little versatility. You know, he won't be able to do as much because he hasn't been here.
Right.
I don't think you'll see him in the backfield. I don't think you'll see him returning punts. But in terms of having a athletic, pass-catching, line up wide tight end. I think this is a really good fit for them. The one thing I am, and I don't want to be Mr. Negativity, but the story in Tampa was he was traded because they didn't think he was going to be on board with the Schiano regime. And all we heard was that Schiano's regime was essentially being photocopied off of a Belichick plan. So how is he going to fit in with a Belichick regime if he wasn't? And maybe Schiano didn't know and just wasn't sure.
It's one thing to wonder about that. Even if it's a photocopy, it's still a first-year head coach.
Right. And it's still a young team trying to win as opposed to just fitting in on a team that wins with Tom Brady. I agree with that. That's the only thing that I think is less than perfect. Because the knee, as much as everybody says the knee looks like a bomb blew up, he plays every week. So I'm sorry for him, and he may need a knee replacement someday, and he may be one of those guys that you see him 3 years after he retires and he can't barely walk, but he plays every week and he produces. He, 75 passes is not easy to do.
Yeah, and Andy brought that up yesterday. He had basically an Aaron Hernandez season last year with much less around him.
Right.
Now, you could look at that two ways. You could say, well, someone had to catch all the passes.
The Richay Caldwell treatment.
Yeah, kind of like what we did with Jabbar Gaffney, who had a much better season statistically than Deion Branch. We credited Branch for being like the fourth option and discredited Gaffney because he was kind of the top option. But as a tight end, he did a lot of the things that
I think
Aaron
it's
Hernandez does.
I think it's perfect.
I don't
Use
think
Branch
he's as,
this
versa-
week
as versatile.
And then bump him out.
How does that change the offense, assuming Winslow doesn't play,
well,
Branch
I'm
is
not,
in there.
I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying he's not going to be ready to play all the snaps, all the formations, all the personnel groups. I think part of him not talking to the media today is probably him saying, early in the week, I got to get my job
That's
done.
That's what he said.
And then,
so
boom.
I got too much stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that, even though he walked through the locker room like five times and probably could have stopped at any one time and just talked for 3 minutes. But I think that's what you're looking at as a guy who's going to try to get on the field this week. I don't know if it'll work, but if you don't, then you have Branch out there. Or as Paul says, now we have an NFL All-Pro and a former Super Bowl MVP on the sidelines just talking to each other.
That's why they brought Branch back, so Welker would have someone to talk to.
All right, so it is going to be intriguing to see what this offense looks like Sunday night in Baltimore. And of course, we'll just have to wait and see about that.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
I don't think there's going to be – I'm really on board with Andy. I started to say I don't think you're going to see wholesale changes on offense. Now, if you go 5, 6, 7 weeks and you're still sort of waiting for this click, then maybe they say, all right, we got to go back to what we do best. Mm-hmm. But I don't expect that. We talked on our TV show that we filmed yesterday. I'm not really worried. I think that they're making some changes and there'll be some transitions to be made.
All they're focusing on is execution. We just didn't execute. And Brady especially said we didn't execute on third down in the red zone.
You two said that yesterday. That was the number one thing for Fred and for Andy. I thought there was some play calling that left to be desired as well as the execution. But, I think there's an argument to be made that, there were opportunities to make plays on Sunday they didn't make. They didn't play very well.
Now, guys walking through the locker room today, not a lot of people actually talking to the media, but the guys walking through, it just seemed that they had pretty stern faces on. Not like the end of last week where, guys were playing movie games and
It's a big week. It's a big game.
It looked like guys had their game faces on Wednesday.
Somebody, and I just tweeted this as the Captain Obvious tweet of the week, that one of the two members of last year's AFC title game is going to be 1-2 after this game.
And you know what else? That's interesting, and I don't know the numbers here, so I'm just going to say the stat that I read, and I hope I don't butcher it. But the Patriots have the longest consecutive week streak not being below 500. They haven't been below 500 since opening day of 2003. Right. The Ravens are second.
Mm.
They haven't been under 500 since they were 2-3 in 2008.
Wow.
And it's the number one and number two longest streaks of
meaningless
at or above 500.
Because if you go 1-2, but then finish 14-2,
well,
it doesn't really matter.
Well, the Ravens went to the AFC Championship that year.
No, I know.
And the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Right. But even this year, I'm saying they're two of the better teams. I'm pretty confident saying, no matter who's 1-2,
the loser Sunday, the loser Sunday
good.
Probably still doesn't finish worse than 12-4.
Right. Geek stat of the week. Did you know that Aaron Salkin, our friend in the PR department, knows his career record? He's like 141, 148, and 2. He has two ties.
I know of one of them.
And if the Patriots go 12-4 this year, he will be 151, 151, and 2. He'll be perfectly 500 over 300-plus NFL games. I said, "You're just." I said,
"Got issues."
First, I said, "Do like all PR people know their record?" And no, he goes, "I go, so you're a geek among geeks." And he just
Fred,
laughs.
Do you know your record?
I have. Well, yeah, whatever it is since '95,
and
yeah.
it came from.
Well, that's what Aaron's record is.
It came from the other night. He was talking to his wife, and he goes, 148th loss hurt. She goes, what? He goes, yeah, that was my 140th. Even she thought he was going to keep.
He's so unintentionally funny, it's ridiculous.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. A lot of people were writing about Wes Welker yesterday with all their theories. Yeah. And I read most of them. Sure, I didn't read all of them, but I read the ones that were obvious to me, the guys and girls that I should read. And my
girls.
After reading all of them, what's wrong with that?
Women?
Well, you know, guys, girls, gals. You know, I was
keeping. You didn't say boys and girls.
I was keeping it all G, you know. So anyway,
it was G, all right.
So my conclusion is that they do, in fact, think that Edelman has taken enough of a leap in the offseason and is enough of a compliment to what they're trying to do with the two tight ends that he earned extra time. That's what they think. I think that's what they think.
I think that's the reason that this has happened.
Yeah. I don't think it's any none of the contract things make sense to me that they would do that. They would.
And Andy, can you hook a brother up, by the way? I think Andy and I are fully on board with you in regard to the vindictiveness
right.
of the contract.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. Andy doesn't buy it. I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
It just doesn't.
And I think that the number one thing that doesn't make sense about it is if you really wanted to look at a guy who's, okay, he's making $9.5 million, and we don't like that. I think Andy made the point yesterday. I'd squeeze every
right.
last drop out of that stone. I'd have him covering kicks, punts.
Right.
I'd have him, you know, playing 111% of the plays.
I mean,
why play less when you think he's making more than he deserves?
Right.
That makes zero sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen, I understand it's one of the many theories that's out there. There is an argument that you can make on that behalf. I just don't think it's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense when everything is all about winning. It just doesn't make sense. So, again, we'll see how that evolves because both those guys are perfectly healthy. You know, and now that Hernandez is out, does that affect it? I mean, will we still see them trying to, you know, get Edelman in there? Or now does the margin for error, decrease so that you have to have Welker out there more?
If Welker's not out there more after Hernandez goes down, now I'm on board with he's being squeezed or railroaded or something.
Right.
Don't tell me he's now not one of your best guys to have out there when you lost arguably the guy who was going to replace him as the 120 catch guy. So I don't think we're going to see that. We saw him play a lot on Sunday after that, and he caught five balls for 95 yards. What I said to Paul earlier, I was joking on Toucher and Rich this morning, the snap count, everybody's – didn't in the old days, five catches for 95 yards, almost averaging 20 yards a catch? Wasn't that a pretty good game?
Yeah.
Like, that gets lost in this whole, well, he was only on the field 67.2% of the time. And
well, I mean, that's another
he
thing.
He produced.
But the other thing that Mike Reese actually brought up this morning, and he's the, you know, the champion of the snap count. Right.
He was doing
the architect.
Before, right.
I'm going to say architect.
Right.
You know, you like to call people architects. He was the architect of the snap count.
He played a lot. He played a lot more than Edelman in the first game.
Right, he did.
You know, so I do think that there is, Andy's right about the whole
I have a new rule
percentage.
About stats for the NFL. I decided that other than the quarterback, I don't even think they should record games started anymore. It should be just games played because it doesn't matter. Because with all the groupings, the only one that matters for is the quarterback. It should be just games played and snaps. If they're going
to
continue to record snaps, then games played is all that matters. Games started doesn't matter.
So you think Mike Rivera and Ray Lewis should be treated the same in the box score?
No, you'll see the snaps that they got. You'll see that you'll see.
But now you have to delineate special team snaps.
You'll see the participation of the player,
which
by
they did in the preseason,
right? By his stats.
Yeah.
How come we don't do that?
I don't.
Can you put in an official request for what do they call teams? Those?
The teams did it in the preseason. I don't know why they didn't.
What do
they
call those when you need information? Freedom of Information Act. Can you put one of those in for special teams
I'll
and
snaps?
I'll
give it a shot. But don't you agree, like games started?
No, I don't agree. I think you should say who's a starter.
Yeah, no, I think the starters do matter.
Okay, so by that, Edelman's better than Welker.
I didn't say better or anything.
But wait a minute.
I said I think it matters.
That's what Bill Belichick.
Why? But it doesn't matter. That's the point.
Yes, it does.
But
no,
Bill
it doesn't.
Belichick said that on Sunday. Not the media.
What?
Bill Belichick played Julian Edelman over Welker
right.
on Sunday.
But do you think that makes him better than Wes Welker?
Do I think it does?
Yeah.
No. But
that's
but
my
Bill,
point.
But Bill does. Bill thinks he's the better option.
No.
On Sunday, he thought. I shouldn't say thinks. On Sunday, he thought he was the better option.
No,
think if Hernandez didn't go down, it would have been a big gap in percentage of
better
players.
Option in a given situation doesn't mean better player all around. I think that game started means nothing. If you're gonna record snaps, all you need is games played in snaps. That's to judge the guy's participation.
Well, I disagree with that because I think look at the offensive line. You don't think it's more important that the offensive line starts? As opposed to the guy who just comes in?
But you're going to see that, you know, by the participation. It doesn't really matter
So what did you see with Edelman and Welker on Sunday?
What do you mean?
By the participation, what did you see?
I see that Welker's still probably the guy that they want out there.
But that's not what the snap showed. Snap showed that Edelman played more.
Did he on that day?
Yes.
Okay, so what?
But this is my point. I don't think that tells
you
everything you
need to know.
But I don't
know if he played special teams either. I don't know where those snaps came
from. No. These snaps are offensive snaps that Reese writes down.
I don't know. But
what does that tell? So
if, wait a minute.
It tells you what I said, that he thought he was a better option on Sunday.
So you think Sterling Moore is more important than Dante Hightower or Brandon Spikes?
I'm saying it doesn't matter. Who's more important? Whoever plays more is probably.
See, I disagree. It's all situational.
Yes,
it changes week to week and month to month.
Right.
But I'll tell you one thing: Jerod Mayo plays every week. He starts every
week. And look at the snaps.
I don't get this. That how a guy could not be valuable as a starter like that? That's not valuable information to know.
The coaches don't
want to start every game with him on the field.
What you're trying to say is that a guy starts, but he might play the first series of the game, and then the guy who comes in for him plays the rest of the game.
Right?
Yeah, that could happen, but it doesn't happen in the NFL.
Well, I think that with all, especially on defense, you're seeing all these sub packages and stuff. You know, a nickel corner when a team is you're going against certain teams is just as valuable as. You know, that linebacker that comes out.
Sure.
You know? So it's like.
You could make that argument.
You know, so.
But he's not.
I think starting in the NFL is not as important as it used to be.
No, but I think
close.
In most positions it is.
I think the vast majority of positions it is. 9 of the top 11 playtime
starters.
Guys are starters.
And you're going to see that by their snaps, that these are the guys that are the, you know.
No, I won't, because I won't know who started, because you don't want to record starters. I don't know why you would ever eliminate information.
Yeah, I don't know why you want to get eliminated either, but whatever, it's not that important.
It's not important anymore, except for the quarterback, obviously.
Why is it important
for him?
You'd see he played a lot of snaps.
Well, because if, you know, if the,
there's
only one quarterback per game, he doesn't get substituted for.
He could. Have you ever watched the Jets?
All right. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. It would be explained by the Jets. Mark Sanchez plays X snaps.
Right.
Tim Tebow plays X.
And you don't have to.
And Tebow comes in for four snaps. You know who the starter is.
But you don't have to substitute
anybody. I know that for everything. You're telling me that snaps will tell me all I need to know. Then it tells me all I need to know for all the positions. Right?
Yes.
You don't need to start the quarterback.
And in the specific case of Wes Welker, and we don't have to rehash everything that we did yesterday.
We also don't need to spend more than 5 minutes on this dumb idea.
Right. But his snaps decreased.
And that should tell you something.
It tells you that he thinks that Edelman is the better option now.
And exactly.
But you're telling me it didn't. You're telling me that we.
No, I started this out by saying I've come to the conclusion that they think that, well,
you
Edelman.
You said that starts don't matter. Well, he started.
Well, look, whether or not he started, I think that they believe that Edelman has taken enough of a jump in offseason. They want to see him in there and see what he can do.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it right.
Well, no, but.
How come Jermaine Cunningham's not playing all the time? Like, he, according to Bill, had one of the greatest offseasons ever. He looks bigger. He looks faster. He was an offseason award winner, but he's still just a rotational guy.
Because the guys in front of him are better.
Wow.
Wait, so we're saying Welker's not as good comparatively as Ninkovich.
As Ninkovich?
That's the guy
Cunningham
playing,
is in front is behind Ninkovich. Welker is ahead of Edelman. You're telling me Edelman had a great offseason and deserves to surpass the All-Pro, but Cunningham had a great offseason and doesn't deserve to surpass Jag.
That's what they feel.
I just want to state something.
First of all, you don't know they feel that.
Can I state something,
Andy?
I know they feel that from his participation.
No, you have no idea. But you have no idea. All these things we talked about are
theories.
Possible.
They're all theories. And,
right.
and we're just
so
analyzing.
You don't know what Bill Belichick.
No, I don't.
Right. We don't.
I'm just showing you an example contradictory to your example.
And we happen to agree with your theory that it's not contract related.
But if I look over the course of a few games and I see that Ninkovich has twice as many snaps as Jermaine Cunningham, I know that they value Ninkovich more.
I don't know
on the
that
because
you're eliminating the contract issue or all other issues here.
I'm throwing that out the window.
I know, but it's not fact. You can't say it's fact.
Okay. This is what I think.
It's a theory.
Right.
And I'm just giving you an example that would seem to fly in the face of your theory.
And the other theory doesn't make sense that, you know, they're leaving, you know, keeping guys on the bench because of contracts, even though they're better. It doesn't make sense to me.
This is a definitive statement. I've never said anything as disrespectful about Wes Welker in the last 5 years as Patriots fans have said about him this week.
I agree with that.
I've never been as disrespectful. All of a sudden, Julian Edelman is a better player than Wes Welker.
In my opinion, Wes Welker.
And everybody's
Welker,
just happy to say, okay, yeah, that's what he. That's
in
what
my
doing.
Opinion, Wes Welker is a better receiver than Julian Edelman. There's not even. It's not even close. It's not even close.
I think, and better player, Paul's talking about the blocking and everything. I think there is a chance he's a better blocker.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So I think it could be boiled down as simple as
that. But how much do you value that in your wide receiver? You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you're trying to establish a running team early in the year out of certain sets, you may value it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think...
I just find it hard to believe that Edelman's better than Welker.
However, you can sell me
on the run blocking that he's better. You can't sell me just a flat sentence, Julian Edelman is better than Wes Welker. You can't do it. I'm sorry.
No.
I don't care who had a good offseason, who had a crappy offseason, who went to a death in the family. You know, now people are posing maybe he stayed too long with the death in the family, like Richard Seymour, and he had to be better. I'm sorry. He's the better player.
That's kind of the stuff that I was alluding to in the summer.
But I don't know.
Paul, it doesn't make sense to not start week two after starting week one.
Paul, you'll remember this because you followed sports before 1995. Remember when Kevin Kale was the sixth man?
You know, yes, when Kevin McHale was the sixth man.
He was probably better, right, than Cedric Maxwell. I don't know, but he was the sixth man.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's
not
what this situation is.
You don't think so?
No. They're clearly trying to figure out if their offense is better with Edelman in it instead of Welker. I mean, I don't know how you can look at it any other way. They started.
And this isn't the NBA. There's an award in the NBA for the sixth man. There's not a 12th man in the NFL.
I think there isn't something.
No, it's the fan.
They started
to
play.
The fans.
They started to play Edelman more in the first game, even though Welker played more than Edelman in the first game. There was that second series of the game that Welker didn't play in, and Edelman played instead of Welker. And again on Sunday, we saw that Edelman instead of Welker.
Yes.
When they played only two receivers on the field, Welker wasn't one of them.
Yep.
But aren't there a lot of and you read Reese more than I do? Aren't there a lot of number breakdowns that like the snaps when Edelman's out there and Welker's not, like a huge percentage are running plays? I thought I saw that somewhere.
Yeah,
I
didn't. Somebody sent in that breakdown.
I didn't read that breakdown this week. No, but I think a lot of the stuff that I think people wanted to sort of point to this week got blown out the window. Because it's speculation as to what you think would have happened had Hernandez not gotten hurt, and it was only three plays, and you can't draw any definitive, conclusion from three plays.
Web Brady at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Boy, the phones are stacking up again. The calls are stacking up. So let's
nothing like losing to spark interest.
Let's knock off. Well, I think you know. There's some real intrigue here now with Branch back and Kellen Winslow in.
Winning is boring.
But you notice that there's a lot of movement in the league. And, you know, I don't know if I just.
What do you mean movement?
I forget. There's a lot of player transactions this week.
Okay. Well,
tons.
Well, there were a lot of injuries.
Not big name.
Oh.
You know,
there were some big name injuries.
Yeah.
Brian Arakpo, Adam Carriker from
just
Washington.
Just one team, yeah. So. Let's go to
Ryan Arakpo. Oh, I mean, you are an all-pro linebacker.
Aaron Hernandez, that's a significant injury in the league.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would say that's like the biggest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Arguably. No, I agree. Out of those three, I would say
out
I would agree.
Any. I mean, were there any?
Well, the Redskins with two defensive guys.
I think Carragher's a jag. I mean, I don't know.
And they went down for the season.
They're done. I sort of agree
Big
with Andy.
Big surprise that Arakpo tore a pec, by the way. Oh, interesting.
I think Arakpo's a pretty good player, but I agree with Andy on Carragher. He's, you know, he's kind of a disappointment.
Let's go to James in Cincinnati. Hey, James.
Hey, what's up, man?
We're doing all right. What do you got
Long
for
time,
us?
First time?
Yeah, first time.
Hey, nice. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, man. Hey, I got a question. I'm in a 14-man league. It's pretty deep. I got the last pick. So
you called the wrong show.
Kind of a, huh?
Did you call the wrong show? This isn't the fantasy football show.
What's that?
This isn't the fantasy football show. I think you called the wrong show.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. Sorry.
They're on at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays.
Okay. Sorry about that, man. Thanks.
No problem. See you.
Well, call right, call them back. I'd like to be able to give you some advice, but
we just had a wrong number on the air.
I wouldn't be able to give you any advice.
We got a great call screener.
I'm gonna start calling like corporations like IBM and they. Yeah, I'm in a 12-man league. Larry's in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Larry.
Yeah, I was just wondering who I should pick on my first pick. I want to be saying this right now. I'm like, I'm very concerned with my offense now, and it's not just the offensive line, just the offense as a whole. And yeah, I know Deion Branch is bad, Kellen Winslow we got, but I'm saying, you know, Brady got about 4 more years left, you know, left with him, and I think we really need to drop this, you know, dick and dunk receivers and start getting great threats, you know?
Well, those guys are, you know, few and far between. There's not a lot of those guys that...
And what are we talking about?
And you know what?
We talk about stretching the field.
An all-pro caliber, it was only 1 year, but an all-pro caliber deep threat in the offseason who had experience in your system
Larry,
in two places.
Do you not like Brandon Lloyd?
He's okay, but he's like in his 30s, and what's going to happen after that? We need some developmental receivers that, you know, even when Brady leaves, that we have something to bank on, because just hoping on these veterans is not going to work. And I thank God that we lost this Sunday than it happened in the playoffs, because our schedule is pretty easy. Well, so I'd rather that loss now than this would happen in the playoffs.
You know you have Hernandez and Gronkowski through 2018.
Yeah, we do, but people want to scheme against you, and you got to have an answer.
So you're back to Fred. You want to have two all-pro outside receivers, two all-pro tight ends, an all-pro core. That's not the way the league works. You have a couple great weapons,
Larry,
if you're lucky, and then you have to fill in around that. Their great weapons are their two young tight ends.
I have a couple of comments, Larry, for you. First of all, you talked about the deep threat, and I do think that's an element that they need. They've tried 3 deep balls minimum. I think they've had a couple of others too, but
2 to Lloyd, 1 to Gronk.
Right, yep. 3 legitimate 50-yard passes. They haven't hit any of them yet. They got, you know, and I know it's one thing to try them, but just the fact that you try those every game is going to help. It's going
to
make sure.
Eric's tried to go out with women a lot.
It's going
to
keep everybody honest.
He hasn't scored.
It's going to keep everybody honest. So that's one thing that I think now. The other thing you talked about, they don't have any young receivers, and that's absolutely true. They don't have a developmental receiver. That's kind of what we thought they were going to have with Greg Salas.
Until they cut him.
Now, maybe they'll bring him back for the practice squad. I'm told he does have practice squad eligibility. So maybe he comes back, and that's one guy. They still need, but they really got young. That roster really got young this year. It didn't get young at receiver. You can't just get young at every spot all at once. I think they've made a concerted effort to sort of, you know, drop the average age of the team a little bit, and maybe you'll see that over the next year or two with the receivers as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should run the ball more, and because I'm getting, every time I got to hold my breath to see if Tom Brady's going to get up, because it's just one hit away that, you know, it could change our season real fast. And,
no, that's
and
true.
The offense is really concerning right now.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
I think the pass protection.
Nice job.
The pass protection is an area to keep an eye on.
You know, that's, you know, you say they could do you know, receiver next year. Maybe they draft two in the first three rounds.
And I don't know that they will.
Because Brady seems to really work well with young receivers at the end of his career.
You know, maybe they can all hang out with Branch and Welker on the sideline.
No, you know what,
have a nice little party.
There's a better chance that they get, you know, Danny Amendola. Or they, so go find some guy that they've targeted as the perfect fit, and that's what they'll hope.
Victor's in the belly of the world in Ecuador. Hey, Victor.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Yeah, first of all, it's an honor to talk to you guys, especially you, Andy. I called like a month ago. I just want to say that I'm going to go on a little rant here.
Okay.
And I wholeheartedly disagree with the fact that you guys say that Josh McDaniels' play calling was not bad in the game.
I mean, I thought it was bad.
This whole running of the football, it was like run, screen, run, deep bomb. And I just don't like it. I mean, you have an offense that has scored 500 points 2 years in a row, and then you want to completely change that. I mean, the only time I thought the offense looked in sync was in that last drive when I thought that Brady just said, like, you know, screw it. I'm going back to last year. And they were throwing, like, all these throws that they were making last year. So And another thing, the disrespect that is being paid to Wes Welker. I mean, this guy will probably go down as the greatest slot receiver of all time, and now you're starting Julian Edelman instead of him. I mean, it's just disappointing. I don't get it.
No, I certainly agree with the second part. Yeah. I think it's funny, the first part. Back-to-back callers, one guy said, we got to run the ball more. I'm sick of seeing Brady drop back. I'm scared. And then this call is, we're running the ball too much. There are individual play calls I didn't like. The throwback, which apparently was, you know, we said it live. It looked like he was going to throw. Apparently he was going to throw back
Andy
to Tom
said
Brady.
It immediately.
But I don't like that play on any level. Like 12 levels, I don't like that play. But overall, I think the play calling is okay. I think that's the excuse, the easy excuse that fans have. Oh, the play calling sucked. Right. You know, now everybody's like, boy, I wish we had Bill O'Brien back. Well, you
You're
hated Bill
right.
O'Brien
well,
when you had him.
And,
you hated Josh McDaniels when you had him.
And
you
also,
hated Charlie
also,
Weiss.
We mentioned in our TV show yesterday, I remember back in February after that game, people saying, why can't the Patriots run the ball
right.
more?
It's like everyone has these short memories. And do you remember Charlie Weiss was, quote, padding his resume and people hated his play calling?
Yeah, right.
Like there's always criticism of the offensive coordinator.
And you're probably right. Right, because I was critical of the play calling, and you're probably right. It's probably like
just not Bill O'Brien's.
No. I've been critical of Bill O'Brien's play calling at times too. But I don't.
Did I miss that show?
But it's for a different reason. I didn't think he ran enough at times when the game was in hand. Like the Colts game, for example, last year, they have the whatever was it 31-3 lead in the fourth quarter, and they're five wide, empty backfield, and they're throwing three plays, three and out. Punt, no time off the clock, and all of a sudden the other team makes a comeback. That's criticizing play calling. It's just in a different way. I think on Sunday they maybe were a little bit too reliant on 3rd and 3. Let's run it here. I don't think 3rd and anything more than 1 in the NFL is a running down consistently. So far, it's anything less than 5, it's been a running down.
But you think that's Josh?
Well, the play call itself?
No, not the play call. The situation
mentality?
Of the game and what we're going to do here.
Yeah, I think it's Josh. I think the game plan
I think we've
itself...
seen enough of those from Bill. All right, Billy, let's run it.
Okay.
And the overwhelming
right.
and that's it.
No,
you know,
might
it's
be
not
right.
I want to see X, Y, and Z. Just the philosophy of at this point in the game, we're shutting it down, we're running it, or we're doing X, Y. I think that comes from Bill's.
Maybe you're right. And I do think that the you know, I've seen some like AskPFW type stuff. Some web radio email saying that they think that McDaniels has more say. He's turned more of the offense over to McDaniels than he has anybody since Charlie. I don't believe that. I don't believe that they have any more say. I still think Bill Belichick is the guy who comes up with the game plan, gives it to Josh McDaniels, and then he says, okay. And then Andy's right. I think there were times during the game where Andy says, hey, Bill, remember that mic'd up thing with the Colts? Billy, throw it, Billy. They can't stop it.
I think it's the other way. I think McDaniels comes up, but Belichick approves it.
No chance. In my mind, no chance.
Based on
that Football Life documentary, I think that cemented everything.
Well, but it's
we
a different person.
It's different now.
Listen, you might be right. I don't buy it.
That was in the development of the Bill O'Brien era. This is right. The second tier, and how much has Bill gushed over Josh and his experiences and the conversations we now can have? And,
right.
You know, there are things I could tell him back then that he just needed to see for himself when he went blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So I think if anything, and certainly personnel-wise, you have to say, well, was Josh given too much input? And, you know, this Greg Salas trade and this
in terms of personnel, yeah, that's a different thing.
Lex Hilliard, I mean, is there another fullback coming in because they just got to have a fullback? Or
I think that he had some say in some personnel moves because of some of the things that he wanted to do and that he
Well, then he
had
say
Bill.
In the offense, but I'm philosophically.
Oh, I didn't say he had no say in the offense. I'm saying the game plan week to week to me is Bill.
Oh, I agree, week to week.
That's all.
I thought we were talking about the philosophy of the offense.
No.
I think Bill O'Brien had zero philosophical say on the offense. I think
he
had some say week
to
week. Now, I think Josh has philosophical say on the offense, and I think we saw that this offseason with the tight ends and the running game and all that crap.
I think we exaggerate and overestimate some of this stuff, but if you read some of the stories that the Globe had specifically about the decision to go to the two tight ends, Bill O'Brien was a big part of that.
Yeah.
So if we're going to believe it now, why didn't we believe it then?
I also think all that was overrated. I think they went to the two tight ends when they had two tight ends.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, right?
The offense. The decision to draft two tight ends as quickly as they could in 2010 has been credited with Bill O'Brien. Maybe that's complete and total garbage.
Didn't they need tight ends?
But I'm just saying.
I remember going to that draft saying, I want Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham. You need tight ends.
No, you're missing my point, though. It might be total garbage. Maybe Bill Belichick said, we need two tight ends. He has been written about as being the guy who went to Belichick and said, we need this to do what we want to do on offense.
Yeah,
I think Jackson Hart, had he been old enough
to read a depth chart, would have said,
I'm not saying you're
wrong. You need some tight ends.
I'm not saying
you're wrong. It's a position in the NFL that you need to have.
And you might be exactly right. I'm just saying that's been written about in the Globe that Bill O'Brien was the guy.
That makes sense. I didn't know that, but I actually heard Greg Bedard talking about it ad nauseum on
somebody
on
getting info
morning.
From Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, because he said it like three times. It was back in 2009, and really, you know, every offseason they go through this thing, and he had this whole rundown of everything they wanted to do.
And that was a continuation of what he wrote about in his preview.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I think the guy who wants to use the tight ends is named William Belichick.
Well, that's how I feel.
Because William Belichick has drafted more tight ends than anyone I've ever seen. He just swung and missed a lot. Don't tell me he didn't plan
that's
on Ben
exactly
Watson
how I feel.
And Daniel
they
Graham
moved up
being
for Daniel Graham.
See,
but the duo.
Right.
Two years later, he got another one. Don't tell me he didn't have visions of this, where everybody's blowing the Patriots for having these great young athletic tight ends.
Andy and I have said this.
He swung and missed
for a while.
And this is the year that Watson goes all pro.
Right.
They wanted Watson and Graham to be what Hernandez and Gronkowski are.
Yep. Graham was going to be Gronkowski and Watson was going to be Hernandez.
Right.
Except they both weren't that good.
Nope.
And you know what their major flaw was? They couldn't catch.
Yeah.
KK.
Jamie's in Georgia. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You want to know about your flex position?
Actually, I do. some good ins. Actually, I need to know, should I start Mason Crosby or our boy Gostowski?
Gostowski. Always comes down to a big field goal in this game. I don't know if that helps you at all.
Mason Crosby.
Oh, come on. He hit the one in overtime, didn't he?
He did.
Oh. I got two things to talk about.
The next field goal for him is big.
First being this whole Welker, Edelman, it shouldn't even be a discussion. Wes Welker is the best slot receiver in the league. There's a PFW Facebook group, and there's one guy that's screaming Edelman's more valuable to the team. Like you guys are saying, it's just this.
Which guy's that?
Yeah, what's his name?
Call him out.
Let's call him out on the air.
Hold on. I believe it's Michael
Hunt.
Let me see.
Is it Mike in Puerto Rico?
It might. Hang on.
All right. Well,
All right. I thought you might know off the top of your head.
All right, call
Michael,
it up.
Michael Daly. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Call him out as a clown. If you're listening, Mike, call us.
There's a conspiracy that the guy that called in yesterday was him. He just didn't want to use his name.
Oh, he's not even confident enough to use his real name? What a DB. MDDB.
Yeah, that's what the rumor is. But anyways, I just want to address that. I'm on board with you guys. Wes Welker, as a receiver, is years beyond what Edelman could ever be. I just don't see it. Edelman at best is a career backup.
Well, he's a starter. He's a starter now.
Well,
and I agree. I agree with you that this is like much ado about nothing in some ways. But Bill Belichick helped make it something by starting Julian Edelman. As I said, the easiest way to squash this would be play Edelman on play two. I mean, doesn't that go into your mind? Wow, this guy always starts for us, and we're not starting him.
I agree. There's something going on, but whatever it is, it's wrong. It shouldn't be happening.
I kind of agree, but we never really know.
Yeah, we
then,
don't.
Why is it okay, but then why is Edelman starting ahead of Welker?
No, I know, but, like, we don't know. We don't know the specifics. Like, maybe Bill.
No, they know something we don't, but.
I think they think in the two wide receiver set, he's more of a compliment to.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something
I don't think he is.
But they started out in a two wide receiver set.
Yeah, but I don't think he's more of a compliment than Welker is.
They think that.
Well,
so wait, the two wide receiver set, like the one we used all last year with Branch and Welker playing with Hernandez and Gronkowski, that two wide receiver set
hadn't come made.
Come what? He hadn't done a good bunch of sprints on the practice field in the spring.
Listen,
this is ridiculous.
Don't yell at me.
It is.
It's you're playing into what the caller's talking about. This is ridiculous.
And
everybody has these thoughts.
And Jamie's point is, this is a lot of people that are saying this stuff. They're buying it, and that's why I took it to the theater of the absurd. You know, if the offense has four straight games like they did on Sunday, and we're heading into like week six, and Ryan Mallett runs out of the tunnel as the starting quarterback, does everybody sit there and say, he had a great offseason?
They'll say, Tom shouldn't have gone to Costa Rica. He should have been here.
He had a great offseason. He should play. He earned that time. No, of course they wouldn't, and they shouldn't. At some point, a guy's track record should count for something. And that's why I say I made that comment. I don't think I've ever said anything is disrespectful about Welker, as has been said about
you
him
have
this
not,
week.
Except maybe when Fred said,
when I called him loose change,
what do you have, four touchdowns?
Paul, your example would be right if this team had a reputation for doing odd things personnel-wise.
Well,
like
they
that.
Do.
But they don't.
They kind of do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do stuff sometimes.
What are you talking about?
They just do stuff sometimes.
Like what?
You don't really know what's going on.
Oh, come on.
There's various phases where you're
and
like,
here's the thing.
That's interesting.
See, this is one of those things that winning cures all. You know, no matter what you do, if you win at the end, it's deemed to have been the right decision. Well, I would argue it doesn't necessarily validate. You know, they could win the next 15 games with Julian Edelman playing and Wes Welker sitting on the bench. That doesn't make it the right choice.
Well, if they win the Super Bowl, it might.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean,
because you didn't win the Super Bowl when he started.
But you know what my point is? It's like the Lawyer Malloy thing with, you know, Antoine Harris was a better option. Well, no, because you won the Super Bowl wasn't because of Antoine Harris.
Right.
And that was the decision you made.
No, but if they do go on and Edelman has like 100 catches and they win the Super Bowl, I think it was the right decision.
Well, absolutely, if he has 100 catches, not if he gets benched.
Well,
after
actually,
one
game. If they just win the Super Bowl, it's the right decision. Because however it played out, butterfly effect, I got to be consistent with my butterfly effect. If they win the Super Bowl this year with Julian
and
Edelman,
he has nothing
it was
to
right.
do with it?
Yep, it was right. Because he might have had a key block that helped.
I disagree.
Or a key
no, I said
helped.
He had nothing to do with it. Like Antoine Harris had nothing to do with.
Well, I think you couldn't even argue that. He's already been on the field, caught passes, and made blocks. So you couldn't even argue now if they won the Super Bowl that he did nothing to do with it. He's already had something to do with it. All right.
All right, Jamie, thanks.
Michael Daly, we are calling you out. Call in the show if you've never called before, Mike.
All right, phones are still ringing. Patrick's in Duluth, Minnesota. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
I love listening to your banter back and forth. I've listened for years. I seldom call. I don't know if you guys understand this, but I don't view myself as a person that would call into radio shows. But
I'm fine with that. I'm not one of those people either. Got me in trouble last week. People were mad at me.
Yeah, I just got a couple of things for you. You know, I tend. It was a painful loss this weekend, but I tend to look at things several games in a row. So I guess I didn't go down in the dumps over it. I'm hoping that we can repair some things. But I do have to say that, Fred, you started out the show yesterday saying it was going to be therapy, and I was actually feeling kind of okay at the start of the show, and it's all kind of crappy at the end of the show. So.
Well, sorry
it's
about
shock
that.
Therapy. We need to beat you down before we build you up.
There you go. Hey, I have basically one question kind of with that. I'm okay with us trying to build a running game and to have I think, you know, we're looking at the Super Bowls and what's happened in the past. And trying to have a complimentary thing to the passing game. But you guys had mentioned Brady and him looking very uncomfortable yesterday. Now, how much with these new personnel packages out there, he used to be able to look over at Branch, look at Welker, do different things at the line, change calls to get himself out of trouble if he saw stuff coming from a certain direction. Has that changed now with these different personnel packages? Is he limited with what he can change at the line?
No, I don't think so.
The theory is he's going to have more.
Yeah.
But the limitation is what I said yesterday. There's new guys. I don't know that he has the trust in Edelman and Lloyd and Ridley and Lex Hilliard. If he's out there, these guys, Huamanamanui.
Well, I noticed it more in the first game than the second game, but I saw him, especially in the first half, moving Gronkowski around a lot, depending on where he thought the pressure was going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I saw us when we went no huddle, you know, in the last game, and that just seemed to change some things. Of course, that could be a factor of being late in the game, too. But I was just wondering if that had a significant impact, if it really limited him at the line. I'm glad to hear the feeling is that it doesn't.
No, I don't. And I think, if anything, that'll get better as he just gets more comfortable and Lloyd gets more comfortable. And if Edelman's out there a lot, Edelman gets more comfortable in that role as it unfolds.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better because I think we've always, you know, all said that one of the best things Brady brings to the game is his mind. I'd hate to, you know, limit that out of there and make him just walk up and run a play. So
a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Yes, it is. Hey, you guys, thanks for the show. I always love it, and take care.
All right, see ya.
All right, Patrick.
Yep. Where's Duluth? Is that way up there?
I don't know. It sounds cold. That's all I know. All right, we got more calls.
Kind
more
of expert analysis you get here on PFW in Progress.
More calls, more emails coming up. Food's here. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
BMW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen?
I
have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
How come the lesbians don't drive box trucks?
Oh, boy.
Or a Porsche Boxster.
Who asked you? From a ladder.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brandon's in California. Hey, Brandon.
Yo, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, we're just fielding Patriots calls. What do you got for us?
All right, well, first off, I'm going to just say that on McDaniel half, you know, coaches have bad games. They're just like players. But, like, what I don't understand is why does he keep running the ball on third and long with Danny Wood? It's like, come on now.
Scored a touchdown on one of them.
Yeah, but it was a holding penalty, so, you know, you can't really count that. But, you know, like, he did it over and over. He even did it in the Titans game where he kept putting in Danny Wood. He must have fell in love with him.
I don't know.
Haven't they run in non-running downs a lot over the years, like that?
They do that, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of part of their thing.
But, you know, it's always funny, you know, and why not then have your best running back out there?
Yeah, if it's third.
Clearly, Fred, based on the snaps on third down, they think Danny Woodhead is the best running back.
They do.
But I'll have more faith in Steven Ridley getting in a third and two than Danny Woodhead.
Me too.
Well, and also, I mean, in fairness, Ridley had some opportunities on third and two that he got stopped on, too.
Yeah, but I don't think he would get stopped as much as Danny Woodhead would because he's a bigger back.
I agree, and he's better.
And also, I think he's trying to force the ball to Brandon Lloyd way too much. Like, he has these design plays just to throw it to him.
I get the feeling they're trying to build that relationship.
Andy referred to it as the Brandon ratio the other day.
13 freaking targets.
Yeah, and I thought, what was...
Yeah, like, how many catches? Like, five or something?
It's almost like they're going into this season saying...
Five or six.
Wasn't a high percentage.
And a lot of the catches were screens that he got less than five yards on.
It's almost like... Go ahead, Brandon.
I remember watching an ESPN stat and it showed that he was, like, targeted, like, the most and had, like, the lowest percentage of catches.
Yep.
So, like, they go to him a lot, like Denver and all that. So it's like, you know, like, he doesn't catch the ball as constantly. I was just going to say,
that is something over the years. He's one of those guys. He makes the highlight, the diving out of bounds, and then he has drops. He's a little inconsistent.
He makes the easy ones look hard and the hard ones look impossible.
It's like one catch and three drops. You know, it's like, you know, that's just not the Patriot way.
Well, I might be okay with it if the one was like the two 50-yard touchdowns they could have had in the first two games. Like, just think about those two plays.
Yep.
If he catches both of those, well, if Brady throws it to him and he catches it, that changes
everything.
The offense, the Brady, the
game.
Lloyd, the game. Like, everything looks different over 2 weeks. Just two plays.
Well, then I have no problem with the screens. Because the screen... No, but seriously, the screens are now...
I thought you were Mr. The result of the play does not necessarily indicate the success or something like that. Whatever you say.
No, the decision? No.
I don't even know.
My point being,
in other words, I'm always right no matter what.
I'll wait till Brandon's done. Go ahead, Brandon.
I never thought that Brady had that good of a deep ball. I mean, like, with Randy Moss, he's like, I don't know how tall he is, you know, like, Brandon Lloyd's not that tall to go up to the ball. Like, if it's overthrown his head, it's not catchable.
It's a good point, Brandon. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
The point I was trying to make with the screens is if you're hitting a deep ball with him, and I know you got him open twice.
Right.
So that's good. And maybe you can make an argument that the screens are helping get him open. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not saying the result of the screen is now good because of anything that changes. But what I'm saying is that you can make an argument that we're making that cornerback come up and respect the screen, and that's giving us the ability to run by him.
Sure.
That was the only thing.
Oh, yeah, that was one thing. I don't know if it's still in the email, Kiwi, or not from yesterday, but somebody wanted us to point out we were arguing with, was it Don? Somebody we were arguing with about Lloyd, and did he get behind Peterson? Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Lloyd!
Not only was he behind him, as the emailer pointed out, Patrick Peterson is one of the best athletes in the NFL who runs a 4.340. So he got behind a guy who's pretty good now, as the coaches would say.
And he ran by, he did run by him. It wasn't like I thought the Tennessee one was a coverage breakdown, where he clearly took advantage of, at the very least, some miscommunication by Tennessee. I think he ran right by Peterson. I think Andy's right on that. And he was open. And he wasn't as wide open. He wasn't uncovered like he was.
But
he ran by Peterson.
But Brady could have put that ball in a place that only Lloyd could have caught because of the positioning he had.
This one, I think, there might be more on Lloyd than I think the first one. And Andy brought up yesterday, I think. Didn't you say that thing about the post, Andy?
Yes.
With Lloyd? You know, if he's told to kind of run to the post, he kind of ran laterally.
Yeah.
So I think you could have made an argument that had he continued to go vertical there and gone toward the post, you can lay it up over the top. There was no safety. He was behind everybody.
Right.
There was no safety that could have come over.
Yeah.
He kind of threw it into traffic to the left.
James says, Welker's way better. Julian can't carry Welker's jockstrap. Let's stop sucking up to BB. Welker is the better player. Wins and losses is all that matters in the NFL. So by not playing Welker, you are not giving yourself the best chance to win, which is why I think that all this conspiracy stuff is ridiculous, because wins and losses is all that matters.
And you lost. He started and you lost.
Well, you know, sometimes they make mistakes, but...
And they started Welker last year, and they won 13 games. You know,
I don't think it's anything more than they felt that this guy has earned a chance, and let's see what...
This season, you've started Welker once, you won, you start Edelman once, you lost.
It's almost between that and all the targets with Lloyd, it's almost like they're determined not to get in midway or the end of the season without knowing what they've got. You know?
I'm having a hard time buying your theory.
Okay.
Just because I think there has to be other players on the team who have done just as much as Edelman to earn.
But maybe worked as hard, but maybe not shown the ability. I mean,
I'm going back to Cunningham.
Edelman's a pretty
talented
guy.
Cunningham is a great analogy.
He's a former starter who worked as hard as anybody this offseason.
And he has earned more reps than ever before.
He's a former starter.
He just hasn't surpassed the guys in front of him yet, but he has earned more playing time, and that means taking it away from other guys.
No, but wait a minute.
Well,
no,
it means the same thing for you're taking snaps away from Welker.
Absolutely, and they feel he's earned it.
Right, so why don't they feel Cunningham's earned it?
He has earned more time.
I disagree with you.
He's a former starter, A.
He hasn't gotten, I mean, he started as a rookie. Last year he was hurt.
Sort of.
Yeah, but
he was non-factor, and then he was hurt.
No, I know, but he was hurt going into the season. That's kind of put him behind the eight ball,
right,
if you want to take Bill at face value.
Yeah, I never do that.
He might have earned more snaps, but he hasn't really gotten more snaps.
And you know, you're saying it's apples to apples, but maybe the leap that Edelman made was bigger.
Maybe.
You know? Look, I've said before, I'd love to see them try to get the ball more to Edelman in space.
Did you notice Edelman this summer? Like, did you say... We got to get Edelman involved.
I got to be in full disclosure.
Right,
I thought there was a chance he could get cut.
No. Right away, we said, wow, Edelman's, you know, with the wide receivers a lot. You know, it looks like the whole defensive thing's a thing in the past.
Whoa. I don't care about that. I never thought. The only person who thought his long term future was at defensive back was Ian Rappaport.
Well,
no one else ever thought that, including Julian Edelman when he rolled his eyes when he was asked about it.
He was definitely in the mix with the wide receivers.
He's always been in the mix with the wide receivers since his rookie year when he started in the place of Wes Welker.
And I think the whole, you know.
I want to know, did you see anything on the field that say, wow, he's faster, he's better, he's bigger, hands are better?
He did enough.
We watch enough football.
He did enough as at wide receiver for them to cut Gaffney, Branch, and Stallworth.
You're not answering the question that I'm asking. I'm asking you, when you watched practice, did you say,
I didn't see anything in offense in
I'm not even talking about I'm talking about Julian Edelman that leads you to believe, look at the jump he made, he needs to play.
It's hard for me, you know.
Answer is no.
But you made that comment, the last comment. Did Greg Salas do enough to have them cut Branch?
Well, he came in late.
Well,
you know.
Again, I'm just asking you a question.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
I don't think that those three guys getting cut had anything to do with Julian Edelman.
I do. I think they were comfortable with what they had in Edelman, obviously.
They clearly wanted Edelman to play instead of Welker.
Right,
I don't think it had anything to do with Stallworth, Gaffney, or Branch.
If he hadn't taken the leap that people are thinking that they think he did, then they wouldn't have cut all those guys.
Why?
Because they wouldn't need more wide receivers. They wouldn't have confidence.
They don't have a place for Welker. Why did they need those other three guys?
Welker, in their mind, was the third wide receiver.
Okay, so if Welker was still playing and you had Edelman behind him, why do you need those other three guys? This is what I'm saying. It didn't have any. Those two guys don't have anything to do with the other three,
Edelman,
in my opinion.
Was not your third wide receiver, okay? It's not like Edelman and jumped from number three to number two this year. He jumped from not even a factor to being a factor this year.
He jumped from the number two slot receiver to the number one slot receiver.
You know what I'm talking about, Paul.
Fred,
far as options in the passing game, he was not a factor last year. He was not a factor. Yes.
I agree.
Welker got hurt, and Edelman would have been on the field, but Wes Welker didn't get hurt,
and in my opinion,
they had to play defense for crying
out loud. My opinion, on Sunday, had Hernandez not gotten hurt, Wes Welker would not have been a factor in the passing game.
Because now they're more
Because Edelman is now the number one slot receiver.
Yes.
I am so sick of hearing the more two tight ends. That is the
biggest fallacy
in football. They played Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski all year last year.
100% of the time.
When they had three wide receivers on the field, it was Lloyd, Welker, and Edelman. Right?
Okay, what's your
point? Because Hernandez got hurt.
No.
Yes.
But even beyond that, you're bringing in your third receiver, Welker. You made him your third receiver.
Exactly.
Right. So that's my point. They think that Edelman made the leap. Now, we all disagree.
Right. He did, from the two-slot receiver to the one-slot receiver. All I'm saying is it doesn't have anything to do with Branch, Gaffney, and Stallworth.
The two-slot receiver didn't get on the field last year. Right?
And in my opinion, he wouldn't have gotten on the field Sunday if Hernandez didn't get hurt.
He's not a slot receiver this year.
Who isn't?
Edelman.
Oh, that's complete garbage.
He's lining
that's
up
complete
wide
and utter
opposite
garbage.
Lloyd.
Can that's incorrect.
When it's two wide receivers.
He's in the slot on one side.
He is lining up wide opposite Lloyd.
Just because there's no way outside of him doesn't mean he's wide, Fred.
Okay.
He doesn't line up outside the numbers.
All right.
Like Brandon Lloyd
okay.
does.
All right. You know, do you think that the two slot, if you're right,
I'm not saying I'm right, by the way. I'm just going on my observations.
If you think that Welker is the number two slot receiver, do you think that role this year is the same as it was last year?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Paul.
I don't think it will be on Sunday because I think Hernandez is hurt.
Even with Hernandez not
hurt. No, I think it would be the same as last year.
We've already seen it wasn't the same.
I think it would be the same, yes.
When did you see Julian Edelman playing as much as Welker played this year?
Did Hernandez get hurt? I mean, we are never going to...
Before...
No. He got hurt on the third play of the game.
That's the part I said it's too small a sample.
We have no idea whether Welker would have played or not.
And that's why I answered, I don't know.
In the first game, when everybody was healthy, did Edelman or, you know, did the number two slot receiver play as much as Welker did?
Play as much? What?
Never. You never saw that.
Last year?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's changed this year.
Wait, no one's arguing that it's changed. Did anybody argue that it's changed?
I don't
the
know.
The story of the week is that it's changed.
Changed.
The question is why.
Yeah,
no one argued that it didn't change. Who are you fighting with?
If Wes Welker had been hurt last year, yes, Edelman was the number two slot receiver. This year, okay, the only way that Welker sees a field is not if Edelman gets hurt. He's going to see the field regardless. So that's different.
Maybe.
That's different.
Maybe.
We've already seen it in game one.
It's unfortunate. Welker started in game one.
But you think they're going in different directions. You are of the belief that Edelman, and I believe if this is the transition phase, if you're right, if Edelman's better, and this is the transition phase,
I think Welker's numbers will decrease
as the year goes on, and Edelman will.
Please don't say if I'm right, okay? Because I'm telling you what they think, obviously, by what they're doing.
You're telling me what you think.
I still think Welker is better.
Okay.
No, I know you're not. I'm not putting that on you, Fred.
Obviously, it's not the same situation with the one and two slot receiver. They're being used differently this year.
Right now.
Because in game one.
Stop yelling.
But I don't think we can make this determination because we didn't have this. Everything has been thrown into flux because Hernandez got hurt.
So you really think that had Hernandez not been hurt,
I think Welker would have played less.
I think he would have continued to play less and less and less.
Really?
Yes.
You really do?
Yes.
If your theory's right, then we're in a transition phase right now. We're transitioning from full-time Welker to part to full-time Edelman.
Look, whether or not you think Edelman has improved and to what degree he's improved, that doesn't mean that Welker's not good anymore.
Maybe. It might.
Oh, come on.
Fred. I am of the belief Welker should have started and he's still your best. That's my belief.
That's my belief and that's Fred's belief.
Even if you think Julian Edelman has become the next Fred Biletnikoff, okay, that doesn't mean you don't play Welker.
I don't know what it means. and I don't know what it would have meant on Sunday.
That was my answer. That's why I said I don't know. I don't know what they want to do.
Okay.
This is not a criticism of anyone.
I know.
Well, I have a criticism of some people. Stop saying the two tight end sets. They were all two tight end sets last year, too.
You're right.
So stop saying that.
But they're doing different things.
That's fine. Stop saying, because there are more two tight end sets. No, they're not.
And everybody is fixating on the amount of tight ends they're bringing in. The reason they're bringing in so many other tight ends is because they want to make sure that when something like happens on Sunday, they don't have to scrap the game plan.
Or in the Super Bowl
exactly.
last year. Absolutely.
Right. And because all of them get hurt that are here.
Right.
So
it's not like they're collecting talent. They're trying to collect a tight end, a healthy body that can play.
Now, think about it. Now, our boy, did not play very well on Sunday, right? But last year, if Hernandez gets hurt in the third play of the game, you have to scrap your entire game plan.
That's right.
Because you can't play Nate Solder every down as the extra tight end.
Absolutely.
But at least you had Manawa Nui. I just leave off the beginning.
Me too. It's so much easier. You know, I'm going to tell him that. I just cut off the uh-oh part and go Manawa Nui.
So if, you know, and again, I know he didn't play well. I'm not trying to say that, you didn't lose a step. No, you did lose a step. You lost Hernandez. It was
obviously
a huge loss.
If it wasn't that much of a step, you wouldn't have handed Hernandez $40 million.
But you were able to continue to play, quote unquote, the way you wanted to heading into the game.
Except you didn't score and didn't win.
No, well, that's part
of. So you didn't really play the way you wanted to.
But no, I'm saying the two tight end sets continued to be
the
staple.
The way they
want to
play is score
offense.
More than 18 points. They want
to
be near
the third. Why don't you take everything to the theater of the absurd?
Yeah. Jay says, I know this topic is getting a little played out already, but want to get my 2 cents in.
But we can't stop arguing about it.
I know. It's intriguing.
I don't want to talk about it, but every time one of you says something, I have to respond.
The reason I don't want to talk about it is because I just think we don't know. We don't have the information.
And that's what makes it perfect. You can't be wrong.
Right.
Well, I think we could be very wrong.
Any negative talk about Welker, a potential Hall of Fame wide receiver in relation to Edelman, is insane.
Fred.
It needs to stop immediately.
Fred.
It's embarrassing as a longtime Patriots fan.
Fred.
The guy has, 500 yards receiving, one touchdown in his entire young career versus Welker, who had over 1,500 last year alone with 9. Everyone needs to take a deep breath and ease of this ridiculous debate. Edelman shows some promise for the future, but that's about it. Shouldn't even be mentioned in the same breath as Welker yet, and you have to earn that pleasure, and it takes longer than 3 years in the league.
Well, I don't know about that.
You know the other part that bothers me a little bit, of the whole thing with Edelman? You know, they got to see what he can do and this and that. And he's in his fourth year.
Right.
He's not a kid. He's not a rookie that has never played and who had a good training camp and they want to see.
No year four jump.
You know, they don't want to see if he can take that training camp performance and put it into he's been here this is his fourth year.
Right.
And he's always looked the same. He's never looked terrible. He's never looked good.
Right. I've always been intrigued by his speed and thought, boy, it'd be nice to see him get the ball in space a little bit more. That's easier said than done.
You know, Fred, I agree with you on that. I do. I think he's better after the catch than Wes is.
Oh, yeah, because then he turns into a punt returner.
Sure. I do.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he's without any redeeming qualities.
Catch,
yeah.
I don't think he's as good a route runner. I don't think he has as good a hands.
And I made the comment yesterday.
That's part of it.
I think a big part of it with him is the durability.
And then it gets down to just moving the sticks. Consistency, you know, reliability.
And I know that, you know, everybody laughed at me yesterday. He made a big catch on the touchdown drive at the end of the game. He was a good 2 yards short of the first down. I don't know what they did, but they gave him the first down. That's got to be an error in the route.
Mm-hmm. Mike in Charlotte says, maybe Bill simply thought Edelman was the better fit this week. I think it's Bill's usual opponent-specific game planning. Next week, Welker may start and get twice as many reps as Edelman. I still think Welker's value to the team is diminished because of the change in offensive approach, more tight end and run game. Maybe Bill is trying to see.
Easy, Andy.
Maybe Bill is.
No. More tight end, I agree with. They want to use more tight ends, but they're not more two tight end sets. I don't think it's physically possible for a team to have more two tight end sets
than the Patriots have had. Yeah. Maybe Bill is trying to see if Edelman can handle the reduced role that Welker used to fill so that they can entertain trades for Welker since they don't appear to be close on a contract.
We sort of talked about that. There's in training camp and maybe in the offseason more. Your shock level if they traded Welker by the trading deadline.
Mine has gone
a little bit less now.
Yeah, my shock level has gone down.
Right. I mean, would you agree, Fred?
Is this my heart attack meter? How
it'd be one of those things. I'd still be surprised, but I would no longer be stunned if they traded him.
Oh, I wouldn't be stunned at all. I'd be like, son's a bitch. Makes sense now.
Cole from Waterloo. We know Bill likes to throw the backup quarterbacks in occasionally to see how they respond when being called on. They need to be able to jump in and play if Tom goes down.
In the preseason.
Is that what he's doing with Edelman?
In the preseason.
How long before the game did he tell Edelman that he was starting?
Probably never.
Well, according to Wes, he didn't know.
Right. He started to, quote, what do you say, see signs or things that led me to believe Julian was starting.
Right.
But the quarterback thing's in the preseason. This is not a preseason game. Hello, there's 16 of them. They're all important. You play to win the game.
Ray writes,
right as you said that, we got Dennis Green on the screen. Another fly off the handle head coach.
Ray says, I listen to your podcast every week. I would not agree with this theory, but do you think that maybe they brought in Branch so that when Hernandez is healthy, they use Welker as trade bait? It's obvious his role has changed, and if they decide to keep Winslow around and Branch works back into the offense, that they just trade Welker. Maybe they already know that next year won't work out, because even if they choose to franchise him, maybe it would become a holdout.
Well, I don't think there's any chance they're going to franchise him now.
And I don't think he'd hold out at $11.5 million.
For that type of money?
Now all of a sudden he's made $21 million over 2 years.
Right.
What was the timing?
I just brought that up. I don't think it's out of the realm.
What was the timing of the Kellen Winslow first workout? When was that? 2 weeks ago? Like before the game? Is that between cuts in the first game?
It must have been, yeah, because that's – didn't they end up doing at the same time?
Yeah.
And he was here for the first game, so
– okay.
John writes in just.
It's amazing how fast, like, time just melts.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, because there's all this crap going on. And with them, you forget, well, was that the day it was reported or the 4 days later that it became official or the fifth day when you saw the guy? And
John writes in just a thought on the hot topic of the week. Is it possible that they are trying to build trade value for Edelman?
Oh.
Welker is a known commodity within the league. However, Edelman is not. Is it possible they are building towards a trade, including Edelman, for someone, say, like Danny Amendola? That seems far more logical that in spite of anything else, and I would feel much better about that situation than all the other speculation flying around. I still don't think you got to win games.
You could trade them, but I don't think you – why would you – what's the matter with Welker and Edelman? Why do you need Welker and Amendola?
And why would the Rams
– why would the Rams – I don't know.
And who's your punt returner?
Right.
Like I said, I'm not ready to dismiss anything because I just don't know. I just don't have all the information.
Ray wants to know why Andy looks like Josh McDaniels. I don't know. We've never seen him in the same place at the same time. So
I don't really think I do, but we've gotten that a bit.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Generally, people always say it when I wear the...
when you wear the visor.
So everybody wears a visor, looks like Josh McDaniels?
Yeah, and if you have blonde hair, you look like John Gruden. Eddie wants to know, with Branch being brought back and Edelman seeing more playing time, are we getting ready to trade Welker?
Seems like the trend is we're trading someone. Not sure who, but we're trading someone.
Right.
Okay, good.
I just think it would be interesting if this all led to one of those trades.
I think it led to nothing.
And maybe the thing that we don't know about is that behind the scenes, Wes has been
You think there's a chance of that?
You know, derisive? No.
I don't see it in him.
No. I think he's a good team guy. I don't think he's being a problem.
Speaking of this, I heard like a tease for it, and then I never heard it. Stephen A. Smith went off on Brady yesterday?
Yeah, I heard it.
What did he say?
He said that he thought, basically in a nutshell, he thought that Brady needs to, at some point, back his teammates more strongly than he does. He needs to say, you know, step up and say something in defense of Wes. I think he, you know, much like Stephen A. Smith is wont to do.
Made a mountain out of a molehill?
Yeah. He was far more strong than he needed to be. But you agree with his premise. I know, Andy, and I do as well. I think sometimes Tom sort of just kind of toes the company line.
Yes.
And that's basically what he was saying. There are times you don't have to rip your organization, because he's to be, and Smith said that he's to be commended for not doing that. That's not how you don't go unprofessional and rip your team, you know, the organization. Sometimes the guys that you're going to battle with every week need to hear you say publicly. Mm. That was his
more
point.
Harm.
I think he definitely took it too far. It was a typical
internally,
ESPN.
You can do it.
Right.
And I think internally, all the parties are aware. I'm not sure it needs to be done externally.
You do it publicly, it could cause more trouble for the guy you're trying to help.
And or for said, other people down the line, now how come you supported Wes, you didn't support me, and I'm on defense. And I mean, I think it opens up a can of worms if you do that publicly.
And he said, you know, Stephen A. Smith said, you know, you can say it in a way, you know, like, I love Wes, you know, and I need this, I love what he brings to the table and blah, blah, blah. And people have pointed to the fact that he has said that in the past. But I think what Stephen A. Smith's point was he was saying, I love Wes as a player, and I need him on the field with me. Not just, you know, like he had a very generic, I love Wes, no one works harder than Wes. And he didn't say anything that he disagreed with, you know, him not being out there more than he was on Sunday. And I think that was Stephen
A.
Smith.
He has
but
said
again,
we need him to be a big part of the offense.
And McDaniels has said he's going to be a bit, but
again, I think he took it.
They know what's going on.
Right.
More than we know.
Of course,
like,
they
Brady
do.
May know what's going. Like,
absolutely.
So, well, I'm not sure Wes does. That's the reason that they may all. Like,
well, he may know, but he may not agree with it.
Well, now he's kind of lying then.
Right. Well, he's coming out and saying, you know, the coach tells us what to do, and we just do it.
Well, that's what Brady said,
and that's what Wes said too.
But I think that was Stephen A. Smith's point: is sometimes you need to defend your guys now.
But
this
like
was
Andy
a typical...
said, if I'm Wes and I know that Brady is bitching to Belichick about it, that's all I need to know.
Yeah, and this was a typical ESPN, whatever that's called. Is it First and Ten? First Take?
Oh, where they just argue nonstop?
No, it was typical one of those where they take it way too
sort
far.
Of like embrace the hate or embrace the debate.
Yeah, but even this that we're disagreeing, Fred, I think we're all in agreement that the over-the-top, to me, irrational argument, we're all in agreement. The right. contract.
Right.
I think we're all sort of saying there's no way that Bill is making that the reason that he's doing this.
Fred's just saying Edelman's
ESPN,
better.
Someone would be sitting there saying that. and even Fred's not even saying that.
Because he admits he didn't notice on the practice field. He's retroactively saying that Edelman was better.
Yeah, but I didn't see that Welker was that much better.
No, but one has to prove themselves more than the other.
Right.
There's an assumption
that's what I said about the track record.
But again, by their actions.
Edelman has to be X plus one.
Whatever it was, by their actions, they feel that way. Obviously.
Maybe. Well, there's a million possibilities, and we've posed them all. So don't just pretend it can only be one.
Which do you think it is?
I think they think Edelman's a better blocker, and they want to run the football.
All right.
That's what I'm going with. And I'm sticking with it.
And that might be
true.
You
know, that opening series
when
Brady
silly.
Threw the interception, that was targeted for Edelman.
Right.
You know? So they're trying to get him into the pass play, too. The passing game,
well,
too.
You can't. It's not you're going to do just one thing.
TG and NJ, guys, can we trade Brian Waters? Yes, we can, actually.
Yep.
Seems he wants to stay local in Texas. Seems the Patriots don't want to trade him in the conference. Is there anyone in the Texan squad viable for such a trade? What about Dallas? I know we can't talk about him because he isn't here on the roster, but we need alternatives. The O-line issue isn't going away and will be a work in progress all season.
Wait a minute. We can talk about him.
Yeah, no, he's being sarcastic.
Okay.
Well, what do you think about, Andy,
your sarcasm meter was not high right
there. You know, what would you think about, like, trading for another guard who may not be quite as good as Waters, but we need a guard.
But
so
how are you going to do that?
And just exactly who do you think is available that is just a notch below Brian Waters?
Well, someone on another team, I mean.
Yeah,
but
who?
He wants to go to Texas. So the only teams you're considering are Texas
Dallas
teams.
Or the Texans.
You can trade him to the Texans because they have a glaring need at guard. How are you going to get a better guard back from the Texans?
Well, that's my point. Well, what guard a notch below Waters
Texans,
is available?
I guess the Texans isn't the team then. You know.
There's only two he apparently wants to play for, Dallas and Houston.
Like, you would have to have a very unique situation, kind of like what we're talking about with Welker. Like, let's say someone really needs a slot receiver, and they say, we should try to make a trade with the Patriots because maybe we can get Welker. You know, because maybe the rest of the league is looking at it saying, he's disgruntled. We can get him. What guard, you know, what almost Pro Bowl caliber guard is available to trade for?
No,
any team.
Beyond that. Why would a team that has an almost Pro Bowl caliber guard be wanting to trade that guard for
a Pro Bowl guard?
Why would no? Because
but it would have to be a disgruntled guard.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
No, I'm with Andy.
But if I'm the Patriots, that's all I would be willing to do because I'm not going to trade him because I need a guard.
Well, I mean, but if they want to blow my socks off. If they want to offer me a second round pick,
do you need a guard?
Well,
as Andy points out constantly, they paid Dan Conley like he's a solid starting guard in this league. You have Logan Mankins who's making as much as any guard in the league. Do you really need to go out and trade for a guard?
I guess when Conley comes back, we're all set.
If he stays back.
Right.
Now, would you take a draft pick? If the Texans offered you a second round pick for Brian Watson, I would take
it. Oh, absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
See, to me, if you didn't do that, it would be another one of those things that you could argue he's not doing what's in the best interest of the team.
Right.
Well, you could argue that if you make the Texans that much better, you're saying I'm not going to support
But you're making your team better.
Not really. Not
this
year.
You, no, not, you no, not this year, but you're making your team better.
He's sitting on a couch at home, so he's doing no good to you.
Yeah, but he could do harm to you by making the Texans better.
Yes.
If you face the Texans in the AFC title game and Brian Waters leads Arian Foster to 172 yards rushing.
Yeah, so it's addition by subtraction. Yeah, I get that.
Brian Waters leads him to it.
Yeah, I get that point. Well, you know,
no, it's addition by addition to them.
For us, you know, but for us it'd be addition
it's
by
It's subtraction by subtraction.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue into that about that, but
sometimes I just let Indy go.
I see what you're saying.
You know, Dallas, maybe I'd be more willing to do it because, A, I don't think that much of them, and B, I'll meet him in the Super Bowl,
well,
I guess.
Plus, yeah, I wouldn't worry if I'm making Dallas better.
Right.
Because that doesn't affect me.
They don't
me.
Win in the playoffs anyway.
And even if they did, if I lose to them in the Super Bowl and Brian Waters is the difference.
All the more disrespect that they should when they put Bledsoe on Buffalo.
Well, that's why I said if they didn't make a trade like that, Fred, that would be bad for the team. You got a first-round pick for a quarterback. I don't think you should worry about the other team.
So would
that he's going to. That's why I would make that trade to Houston.
Would you have taken a 2 in the NFC versus a 1 from the Bills for Bledsoe?
I wouldn't have.
I think I would want a 1 no matter what.
So that was the only option. You have to trade him in the division.
Yeah.
Plus, you know he's not that good. Plus, you know we can convert a wide receiver to DB and pick him off.
Plus, you know that you can defend this guy. Yeah, that's absolutely
not
part of the
you.
Equation.
31 other teams, too.
No, that's
he had
all,
some good games.
No, but all I care about is me.
Drew is good for 6 good games a year. They're usually like the first 6 or 6 of the first 8, and then he falls off the map.
Finishing up TG and NJ's email, I'm not expecting much from Kellen Winslow. He ain't his dad and hasn't he had the tendency to be a turd in the past?
Yes.
Yes.
We got no.
He was a little bit of a turd today.
We got no youth in the wide receiver.
A little bit.
He's got a lot of tats, though. If we do Pat's Inc. again, holy Moses, is he tatted up. He's a warrior.
We got no youth in the wide receiver corps, so let's cut Greg Salas. What the F is Belichick doing with the wide receiver position? It seems it's never been a strength of his. Can we trade Waters for a wideout? And Fred, do we need
wideouts when we have an all-pro who can't consistently get on the field?
I mean, Welker would start for a lot of teams.
I mean, this is the same rant I went on yesterday. Why does everybody deem wide receiver depth to be this big issue?
I don't think a lot of people are confident in Lloyd yet. I don't think he's caught on with the fans.
You're not.
With the fans.
And you're not.
I think I'm looking forward to what he is, but I still don't see it.
But you still think it's an event.
But we're talking about the possibilities that the offense has sort of changed a little bit. Well, part of that change is that you don't need as many. You don't need as many wide receivers,
right?
Because they've run a lot of 2-back sets that they've never run in the past, and 3 tight end sets that they've run very little of in the past.
They also cut their fullback this week, kind of flying under the radar.
I totally get that, but they haven't been.
Are they eliminating that from the offense?
They haven't been short of wide receivers, is my opinion.
No, they haven't.
Is my point.
But don't you think that's a consider? I mean, they had a number of 2-back sets, I formation.
I mean, a handful anyway, 5 at least.
Are those gone, or is James, he's still here, right? James Devlin?
Yeah.
Is he getting promoted? Is there another fullback to come?
No, they're going to change the running back situation because Vereen's coming back, so they're going to totally do different things.
Because he had a really good March, and he deserves to play.
Don't be sarcastic.
That could be part of the equation. Maybe he's a little bit healthier, and they do envision a Ridley-Vereen tandem. We saw a little of that in the preseason, did we not?
Sure.
Yeah,
we
split,
did.
But not I don't think.
Well,
the only eyes I've seen are a true fullback and Hernandez. And you lost Hernandez and you got rid of your
you're
fullback.
You're not bringing Vereen in to be a fullback.
No, my point is you've had I formations with a fullback. They've either been a real fullback, Spencer Larson, Lex Hilliard, or they've been Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
We lost both those guys this week.
Right, so that's out. That's out the window. Now you bring
Vereen
and you do different things.
Okay, I guess it's out. They're not going to do that anymore.
Scrap it. Lexington Hilliard, gone.
Fred, you have a contract out on Bernard Pollard this week. Do we expect him to play?
He got hurt.
He got some ribs banged up last week.
He expects to play.
Be safer if he isn't, but if he is, which Patriot do you see him knocking out for the season this year? He already got Brady, Welker, and Gronk. Hernandez is out. I guess that means Lloyd, Ridley.
Brady again?
So keep an eye on Bernard Pollard.
It'd be really good for the Patriots if James Ahedebo played.
Yeah, he had to come in last game.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Not surprised with the Ravens let up a touchdown.
For those of our fantasy listeners, start Gronk if Hedebo has to play.
Blake's in Southern Cali.
Probably if
says,
he doesn't.
I want to hit on 2 points here. Stop with the run block argument. Stupid point to say Edelman should be out there more than Welker just to run block. If you want to see how Edelman fits in with the offense, it needs to be seen much less during the game and in practice. Welker should be out there virtually every offensive play.
Preach it.
Lastly, I want to applaud Andy for his comments during yesterday's show about Brady being a nervous Nancy hearing footsteps that usually aren't there during the defensive rush most of the time. I understand him being worried and not wanting to get hurt, but he needs to be much more confident and let the O-line worry about the rush. It's their damn job. Get ready to stand in and take a hit to make a play. It's football after all. Too often it seems like Tom is looking behind and to his side, ready to get down into the fetal position when no one's even near him, which obviously wastes time from looking at options to throw to.
Indeed. I agree wholeheartedly with all of that.
Yeah. I think there's some truth to that.
Nancy's his sister. Doesn't he have a sister named Nancy?
Yep.
Dan in D.C. says, with respect to the loss to Arizona, my view is that the players weren't physical enough and the coaches didn't make good offensive play calls until it was too late. Chalk it up to a good loss. The veterans know they can't rest on their laurels this season, and the rookies now know how hard it is to win in the NFL. I think we have a good team that could become great if they get markedly more physical as the season goes along. Note to the other players, do as Spikes does.
The line of scrimmage was an issue, certainly for the offensive line, pass and run. They got their hats handed to them a little bit. I don't think it was a good loss, though.
It's not. It's the opposite of a good loss.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Melvin's in.
It's a really bad loss. At home against a bad team.
Melvin, I just hit the wrong button.
You hung up on him?
Yeah, I hung up on Melvin. If you want to call back, Melvin, no problem.
If you don't. Screw Fred.
No big whoop.
Joel writes in, hi, guys. I'd really like to know who the F thinks that Julian Edelman is better than Wes Welker.
Belichick.
Fred. Take the Kool-Aid away, and you will quickly realize that Edelman, no disrespect meant, is not a hair on Welker's jock. When Edelman starts hauling in 100-plus passes over multiple contiguous seasons while also managing to gather multiple yards after catch, then maybe we can talk. But until that moment, anyone who thinks Edelman is better than Welker needs to check for cranial rectal inversion. We need to be done with that and move on to the Baltimore game.
Fred.
I watched the replay of the Ravens-Eagles game, and Flacco was inconsistent at best, and I wasn't impressed with the Ravens' pass rush. I thought the Cardinals had a better pass rush than the Ravens did. Now, having said that, I hope Bernard Parlett is somehow hurt, can't play this Sunday. I really don't want him taking on another Patriot. Anyway, what do you guys see a biggest challenge for the Patriots this Sunday? What do you see as the biggest challenge against the Ravens this Sunday?
I mean, I think it's the opposite of what it's been. It's not one big challenge. It's the sum of the offensive parts. They haven't proven they can stop a diverse attack that has a couple receivers, a couple tight ends, a great running back, and a quarterback who's at least average to above average. I think it's the sum of the offensive parts.
Okay. Graham in New Mexico says the speculation over 100 reasons for Welker's reduced playing time in numbers is making a mountain out of a molehill. Here's number 101. As we all know, the Patriots' short passing game to Welker has historically been referred to an extension of the deficient running game with longer handoffs with 3 to 5 yard dink and dunk passes necessary to keep the chains moving. With the more effective running game we have this year, there is less need to do this. End of story. Had Ridley started out with 12 yards on his first 5 carries against the Titans, I believe we would have started to see the familiar Brady to Welker dink and dunk show. If we can't run effectively against the Ravens in the first quarter, I'll bet that Wes will have 9 catches for 60 yards, and then there will be 100 reasons of speculation why he was out of the doghouse. Of all the non-informative party line quotes that have come out in the last few weeks, the one that made the most sense was Welker saying something to the effect of the team being better off if the game plan did not rely on going to him 15 times per game. Bingo. True that. Straight from the horse's mouth. Nuff said. So he's using Welker's own words.
I didn't hear that, but doesn't mean he didn't say it. I think he's being diplomatic. I think he's being a good teammate, like I said.
It's just like Tom Brady saying, we don't want to drop back 50 times. We want to be 30 times.
Right, and then they went out and dropped back 52 times.
Right.
in the last game.
Melvin's back on the line. This time, I promise, I'll get you on the air. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Sorry about that.
Hey, Melvin.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm at Buffalo Wild Wings. But yeah,
hey, can you get me some medium spicy?
Obviously, my waitress has some medium spicy, but I'll leave that alone.
Hey, now.
But anyway.
Love those restaurants.
Exactly. First of all, Paul, what you said yesterday was completely correct. Our defense is so, it can be odd at times because, you know, they start off a game so flat.
Yeah.
It can almost date back to last year, you know, with Denver, of course, and then, you know, it's obvious that they're going to run about three straight times and you give up a first down at times. They have to knick-knack, you know, and pick out little bitty points about them. I just don't, why do you think that they start off games so flat at times?
I wish I had the answer to that, too. I mean, it's like the Welker thing. But think that there is a large element of game planning that this team does, and sometimes they don't get it exactly right. And when you see that happen, you see a team have real success, and then Belichick says, okay, this is what they're doing, gets everybody together, and then, you know, it improves. The games that you really get excited about is when they start off with a, you know, a dominant performance, and then the other team has to make the adjustments, and you see what happens. But I think that's probably what it is when you see that, it's probably something that caught Belichick off guard.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but listen, they weren't ready to play. Can we agree? I mean, the Patriots were not ready to play on Sunday. They didn't, you know, Andy talked about the level of physicality on the offensive line. They got sort of beat up a little bit on the line of scrimmage. They didn't come ready to play. I think they thought it was going to be easy on Sunday, and they learned a lesson.
Yeah. Well, us fans can kind of look up. The players definitely can, especially being so young. I don't know if it's nerves or what, but they just I have no idea. I have no answer for why they weren't ready to play.
It just happens. They got one or two of those a year, so you know.
It always happens. Yep. Yeah, the Browns and then the Bills, and you know they always have a flop each time. But next thing I say, I gotta give Andy his props. If James ahead of both starts Sunday, Gronk will have 8 touchdowns for about 800 yards. That is the worst NFL safety I've seen play 16 games. Hasn't sniffed an interception every game I see him. Only time he comes on the screen is when he's beat. Every time. And he just always adjusts his face mask like his face mask had some reason why he missed the ball.
They should change his name from ahead of bow to behind a bow.
Oh!
Exactly. They definitely do. But okay, y'all continue the show. I'm about to get back to the waitress.
All right,
Melvin. Thanks,
Melvin.
Melvin motorboating.
Mike in San Diego, one of several, it appears, he says. I got home late the other night.
You have a lot of Mikes in San Diego?
I guess so.
We got that Nick guy.
I got home late the other night, and for whatever reason, I turned the tube to the Three Stooges.
Whoop.
Guess I needed cheap adolescent humor to finish off the night. About 5 minutes into the episode, I realized that Mo really looked like someone familiar, and a couple minutes later, it hit me. Belichick. The resemblance is really uncanny, especially since Mo is always pissed off at his stooge brothers in poking, hitting, and smashing them over the head all the time, kind of like what Belichick does with the media. Anyway, I thought we needed some light fun amidst all the apocalyptic talk. And
apoplectic and apocalyptic really give Fred trouble.
I'm nervous about the Ravens, but hopeful that we'll pull it out in the end. So, Eric just walked in. So he's got a practice report.
Yep.
I hope you got some injuries, because just so you know, full attendance didn't work out well last
week. I see
week.
You're wearing a waffle T-shirt underneath.
Paul's favorite.
Your Patriots week. Football weekly polo.
The day started out kind of ugly and raw.
A nip?
Rainy. So, and it's actually sunny and really kind of
really
hot
nice
out there right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So
we're in a transition.
A little overdressed.
We're in a transition between summer and fall, kind of like we're in a transition from the Welker era to the Edelman era.
Ooh.
According to Fred.
Ooh. And according to Bob Holtzman of ESPN, who came in and tried to ask that line of questioning today and got shot down.
And
didn't fight back.
What was his reason for coming here today?
Holtzman?
Yeah.
Welker.
The Welker situation.
Yeah.
And he asked one question, and Bill browbeat him, and he...
Really?
And he just sat there.
Like you, he stopped talking?
No, I don't ask him questions anymore.
Neither did Bob Holtzman. At least he knows Bob Holtzman's name.
Does he?
I don't know. He probably does.
But then the Channel 7 tough guy came in and was trying to ask all these Gronk questions.
Who's the Channel 7 tough guy?
John Hall? Does that sound right?
The TV, the
news
guy?
A news guy?
Yeah. This is a news story?
No. Gronk. He was asking about Gronk, not Welker.
Wait, what was he asking about Gronk?
Apparently, B.B. Jones tweeted something over the weekend, and there was something about, is that affecting his performance on the field? And I thought he had a pretty good game against
Arizona. Doesn't he have two touchdowns in two games?
Yeah. And they threw to him in that comeback at the end there, like almost every other
play.
That's
how they got going.
Right.
It was like three catches to him.
So, yeah, John Hall came in and was asking all these questions about Gronk, and is the off-field stuff affecting him and this and that, and...
I would swear if I were Belichick. What the F are you talking about? He's got two touchdowns in two games. If anybody has been performing, he's been okay. I would definitely swear at the guy. You bleeping moron.
Now that, Fred, is a media fabrication.
But Bill did have a funny because the guy was going on about, you know, off-field stuff. And he said, do you talk to Gronk about that off-field stuff? And the pad answer about, you know, we talked to all our players about a lot of things. We could go on forever about all those topics. And so Hall says... Do you ever get tired of doing that? And what he meant was talking to Gronk about off-field stuff. Right. And Bill goes, talking to players? No, I love it, actually.
Talking to you? Yes.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I tired of it the minute you opened your mouth.
Oh, man.
So what do you got, Eric? Guys. Hate them.
Hernandez,
yeah.
That's it. It's the only one missing.
Okay.
They were in shells today.
I can't believe he wasn't out there.
How'd Kellen Winslow look on his bum knee?
He jogged very lightly like everybody else during stretching. Then he went over to stretching. No,
he
didn't look like it. Nope.
I don't get this bum knee thing. I really don't.
It is really apoplectic.
No, he's more durable than Hernandez, the guy he's replacing. He's played 16 games every year, except he has this knee that Michael Lombardi says we're going to have to sign a special contract with a waiver.
And this is all a result of the bike accident?
Well, I think it's a torn ACL, and then I think he got a staph infection in Cleveland when all those other guys get staph infections.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, I heard somebody say the inside of his knee looks like a bomb went off.
Did he play, Fred brought this up earlier, did he play when Dable was the offensive coordinator for the Browns? So might he have some minor familiarity with what he's
going to do? Yeah, he must have.
Do?
How long has he
been in Tampa? He's 29.
What did he play?
I didn't know. Freddie brought it up, and I hadn't really thought of it.
No, no, strippers sent us this thing.
All right, go ahead. I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. I mean, there's really not much else to say.
Black jersey. Oh.
No.
Oh.
Only after a win, my friend. Only after a win.
Justin Francis gets to keep that belt another week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Denying it, but.
Okay.
Denying
Media
it.
Mood? Still talking about Welker?
No, we were talking about other things.
Other things?
Yeah.
Non-football related?
Yeah. Just hitting on them.
Okay. All right.
But Branch is back.
Around for you to hit on? I mean, I know some are flying south for the winter.
Well, I noticed you changed your avatar on
Twitter. I did, yeah.
And how old were you when that picture was taken? Six.
Yeah.
Six.
Okay. Yeah.
Trying to attract
the
younger
audience? He was a virgin
then,
and he's a virgin now.
No, a hole.
Oh, you got one hole?
Wow.
Nah, just felt like it.
Yeah.
Something different.
Where'd you get it?
It's my second grade class photo. I
so
saw it at my parents.
You scanned it or
something? No, I just took a picture of the picture. Oh. It was at my parents' house.
Doesn't look bad for you doing that.
Yeah. Well, nowadays these cameras are just amazing. They're digital.
Just amazing.
Yes, I know they're digital.
You don't need film.
Yeah, but his is clear. Silverman Freddy's
has
a digital
great
one,
show,
doesn't
by
he?
The way. That's good too.
Oh man.
Sorry, Dave. Just kidding.
Speaking of Dave, he writes in, not
Silverman.
Oh. DS picks.
I moved on from this loss because we always seem to have a what the F loss somewhere in the beginning of the season, and I think our offense can bounce back. I think that this Hernandez injury makes the Welker situation even more interesting, and want to hear what your guys' thoughts are for snap counts against Baltimore.
Welker, I don't do snap counts.
Welker, Edelman, Branch, and Winslow. Snap counts. Who gets the most out of those four? Welker, Edelman, Branch, or Winslow?
Edelman.
I say Welker.
Welker.
We'll see.
I do too.
I know two snap counts.
But, yeah, I mean, who cares, really?
I hate snap counts.
To me, the important...
Snap counts are ruining the analysis of NFL.
To me, the important thing is, and we saw it against Arizona, who was Tom Brady going to when
who
it counts?
Who makes plays?
Who makes plays when it counts? He went to Welker and Gronk.
Right.
Enough said.
Well, on the last drive, it was Edelman. Edelman and Gronk. Really? The touchdown drive, I think Edelman had three of his catches on that drive.
Did he?
And Gronk had at least
a couple.
Gronk
definitely had
three.
But Gronk was – he was quiet
to me
earlier in the game.
Gronk was the guy that – I think Gronk is the guy that he goes to when he feels like he has to have it.
Yeah. Right. Quarterback's best friend.
And he did it – there was a play
the
that we talked about.
The two-point conversion, too. He kind of went to – forced it to Gronk.
He talked about we talked about that on a third down play, you know, against Tennessee, where he had the back-to-back third down conversions there on the take Tuesday in the first week, and he did it again this week. I thought when they had to have it on that last drive, he started it off by going to him over.
I'm
the,
all for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Rather see him force it there
because
to force it to Lloyd.
When he's covered, he's still not covered. He can make the play.
No question.
You know, not to channel Andy there, but when he's covered, he's not covered.
You do well to channel me a little more.
Robert writes in regarding Wes Welker, I think McDaniels is messing around with the Brady and the offense with Bill's blessing.
The Brady.
For the past several years, the Patriots' offense has been great in the regular season and then laid an egg in the playoffs. This has happened again and again. I think Josh is trying to expand the offense, and unfortunately, Wes and Brady are two-dimensional regular season wonder-tied at the hip. The tight ends and Ridley are a big part of this change, and I also think the coaching staff wants Brady to run more. Fortunately, we can afford to play around a little bit this season because there's almost no way the Jets, Bills, or Dolphins will win more games than us and gain a top spot in the playoffs. The fact that Wes may no longer be with us next season may also account for the fact that we're phasing in Edelman, but it's not that big a factor. Mm-hmm. I think Josh is preparing the offense for the real football season, the playoffs. I don't think they think that far ahead.
What if Edelman's what if Edelman's not part of the team next season? And I totally understand that Edelman will be a hell of a lot easier to re-sign than Welker. But they are both pending free agents, right?
I believe so, yes. Should be. Yeah. I do believe that there's something, too. You have to establish an identity all year long if you want to be able to do it.
Yeah. We talked
I'm not
about...
saying I'm going to do it just to lose, like at the cost of winning, but if you want to run in December and January, I think you need to run in September, October.
Oh, yeah, sure, if that's who you want to be, but I don't. I think they're thinking about winning games now.
Yeah, but you're still laying a foundation for what your team is. You're building. It's like Lloyd. I think they're throwing to Lloyd a lot to make sure that Brady and Lloyd build something.
And I think that's I think you brought that up earlier, Fred, about Lloyd in particular. And I
we
think
now
that,
play one soundbite on this show. It's just Lloyd.
That makes sense because I think you've seen struggles, you know, with the new pieces that they've tried to implement. And they want to make sure.
They don't want another season
with
Ocho.
I don't want another season where I don't know if he can go to anybody else.
Right.
Let's make sure that we figure out now.
A side note on the injury play to Hernandez.
Yeah.
Another example of the impossible block. Did you see how late Solder is getting into the picture, who's supposed to be out there blocking? It's another reason I don't like those plays.
On which one?
The one where Hernandez got hurt.
Oh.
If you watch it, I'm sure you did because you watch it again, whatever it is, Monday. What do you call it? Rewind
After
Monday?
After further review.
After further review Monday. And, you know, I was going to start something, Fred. Watch it again Wednesday, I thought we'd put on the website. After take Tuesday, maybe we'll really recap everything good. He's not there. Like, there's a guy that's supposed to be part of that play that isn't part of that play. And I've always
And it's that side of the field.
It's an impossible block, though.
No,
I've always said, Matt Light, it was an impossible block. It's an impossible block for Nate Solder. They get there. I got to think it's
Remember
like
the time
20%.
He made it?
Yeah, and I said, son of a bitch,
son
it's
of a
not
bitch,
impossible.
He made it.
But the success rate on that has to be pretty low for him to get out there. It's like 20 yards to go, and it's like an immediate throw. It's impossible. If he's out there, maybe Hernandez doesn't get hurt.
Let's see. Andre in Panama writes.
Everybody said if Welker was out there, he wouldn't have gotten hurt too, because it was Edelman then.
Right. Edelman rolled up on him.
Silly.
I don't understand how some fans can be so ungrateful to Wes. He's been one of the most reliable Patriots wide receivers of all time, except in the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on.
I know, but some.
I just don't know how people can take cheap shots at Welker.
But I know, but come on, leave him alone. He probably hasn't slept a whole night since. I don't buy at all this new balanced offense. There were stretches of the game, especially in the first three quarters, where I felt we were running the ball way too many times. I mean, for Tom to have just 12 pass attempts in the first half is ridiculous. I thought the new improved running game would be great at the end of games after our first ballot Hall of Famer quarterback had picked apart the opposing defense through the air, not try to rely on it to win. Ridley is no McCoy, Foster, Rice, or Peterson to put the game on his production. I want the old high-tempo offense of short middle-range passes that don't require seven-step drops and a lot of time for the O-line. I'm getting really concerned about this offense. It seems now that what carries us is the defense, which has been great so far, but until they stop an above-average offense, I'm not completely buying it.
Another flick switcher.
So
switch flicker.
I knew what you meant.
I heard you.
Just want to flick it. In the fourth quarter, we're going to run. When they know we're going to run, we're just going to run successfully. And in December, when we want to run, we're just going to run successfully.
And the other thing I would ask is, how many times did we run the ball in the first half on
Guffaw.
Sunday?
I don't know.
We threw it 12 times. How many times did we run it?
17. I made that
you
up.
You have no idea. You know, they didn't play very well offensively in the first half. They scored 6 points.
And part of that was the offensive line.
So they didn't have as many snaps as they normally would. So maybe it had less to do with, you know, those kinds of things and more to do with what they did. You know, their
execution.
You know, I think that it's one of those situations that you can run the ball better at the end of games. They can run the ball more often and more, you know, without having to run it all game long. But Andy's point is a valid one. You can't. It's hard to just sit there and say they should never run the ball and flick a switch and say, okay, now we have a 6-point lead with 4.5 minutes left. It'd be really nice if we could get 3 first downs on the ground here. It's hard to do that when you haven't been running all day.
Jorgen from Denmark says, just a thought.
You okay over there?
Not sure if anyone mentioned
getting
it.
Excited about a Jorgen?
And I'm just slow. When asked about the play calling, Bill said, well, we scored a touchdown, but that particular play was called back for a penalty. In Bill's speak, that must translate to, we made the play and the refs effed us in the A. Agree or disagree?
Effed us in the A?
Yeah.
Wow.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I didn't like that answer.
But that's what he meant.
See, that's not really how I took it.
I didn't like that answer.
I took it
very
defensively. Don't question my play calling. Don't question our philosophy on offense.
And that's fine. That's how I took it, Andy. I'm with you. But
there's a shock. You and I saw it one way. Fred saw it a different way.
No, but he may. But I actually think both things could be true. He may have thought it was a terrible call too.
Then I hope he watched the replay. But
my point is,
son of a bitch, he helped.
You can't pick and choose when those kinds of things count and when they don't. If we allowed a touchdown that got called back and we ended up winning the game, and someone said, well, you gave up a touchdown there, do you think you should have played a little bit more aggressive on defensively? He'd say, we kept him out of the end zone. Right? Wouldn't that be his answer?
Oh, I've been on that end of the spectrum.
You know, so you can't pick and choose when you ignore the penalty and when you don't.
He picks and chooses a lot of things.
That's why I didn't like the answer.
Okay.
For a guy who's
supposed to be
Mr.
Consistency, media-wise, he picks and chooses all the time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because they didn't score a touchdown. Otherwise, we would have won.
Right.
Have you seen
the
story? That,
you know, in the playbook, I believe the first thing it says is no play. So you didn't score a touchdown, Bill.
Ray Horton was on a radio show out in Arizona. Have you seen this? Talking about how the Patriots sort of gave away what they were going to do during the game.
Oh, yeah?
Because they said when Hernandez was lined up tight, they were going to run the ball. But when he got hurt, obviously that was most of the game, they went to the 3 wides. So whenever Brady was in the shotgun, they knew it was going to be a pass. When he was under center, they knew it was going to be a run. And so they were able to sort of make that call before the snap, and they were able to attack a little bit better.
They had no draw plays with
They had very few.
A lot. I think they had 11.
Yeah.
But
something like
gun?
That. Yeah, they 11 runs out of the gun or something like that. They had 39 plays out of the shotgun, and I think they had 11 runs. So
47 out of the shotgun.
Okay. Sometimes Mike Reese's numbers are wrong.
And 39 were passes.
I don't read them, so I don't know.
That's what it was. 47 in the gun, 39 of them were passes.
Yeah, so I'm poo-pooing Ray Horton's little tip.
Right.
What's the normal percentage of pass run ratio out of the shotgun?
Right.
Sounds like about that.
About 90%, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hernandez thing would be interesting, but he played 3 plays.
Yeah.
Right. I always love after games when a player on the winning side says, "Oh, we knew what they were doing." That's the ultimate insult to the losers. The ultimate insult, without coming right out and saying you stink.
I think we
knew what they were going to do.
I think it's very stupid.
You think it's stupid?
Yeah. I mean, what if you really did?
Right.
Why would you tell them?
Right. Right.
Let's go in and hope that they do the same stuff the next time.
Exactly.
Let's hope we beat him in the Super Bowl the same way, and then in my post-game press conference.
Right. Let's see. Mick Malloy writes in, the New York Post said Gronk cost the Patriots games by focusing on the porn star causing him to drop balls. Will Gronk ever get over this huge inflated ego? P.S. Paul's right, Welker sucks.
You said that, Paul?
Did I miss the Gronkowski drops?
Yeah. Where's he dropping?
Well, he dropped
the bomb
in the end zone.
But as
okay.
And there are very few wide receivers who will make that catch.
That is not
no,
a drop.
But even
that's
if you want to say that's a drop, did I miss the drops?
I don't know, Paul. Why are you yelling at me?
The only other one. This guy that Eric is talking to us about grilling, you know, yeah. Gronkowski's performance on the field.
I know.
Am I being a homer and just ignoring some of the bad plays he's made?
I didn't think
he's clearly coming from that. That's how, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. The way radio and TV news works is they read the newspaper.
Right. And then they do
a
story about it.
That's what they do.
That's what the morning meetings are for.
But
I'm just wondering where
Tim from Winnipeg writes in, this is why the Gronk questions came up. I guess former porn star, she's tweeting more pictures of Rob Gronkowski.
New or old?
I don't know. It's out of the Winnipeg Sun.
I get that.
She clothed or not?
She's naked, bare ass, but facing away from
I can't see her tatas?
No, but I get.
And he's in the photo
the
with
questions
her?
Yeah, about his off-field
so
behavior.
It's probably the last time.
No, they're different. I mean, she wasn't like, she was wearing his jersey.
No. I'm saying they were taken from the same spot, and she took six and tweeted one this time.
I'm not necessarily wondering.
Never before seen photos.
I thought she stopped doing the whole porn thing.
She did, but she still tweets pictures of herself.
Of her naked.
All
so you're still doing porn. I'm sorry. You can differentiate. You're not being penetrated, but you're still doing porn.
And then she said, after she tweeted the picture, she said something along the lines of, like, he wouldn't be dropping these passes if I was in his life, blah, 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 something like that.
She's a mental stupid. Case. Did so, you guys watch when she
so
retired on
So she's the
on
one
camera?
Who's questioning his performance on the field.
Right.
Now that we got to the bottom of
and
it.
And she knows a lot about holding on to balls.
I just don't... I understand Jonathan Hall seeing a tweet from B.B. Jones and saying, are you concerned about his off-field behavior? I don't get, are you concerned that the off-field behavior has affected him in the first 2 weeks, based on what I've seen? And that's why I'm asking. Right. Am I just glossing over some bad plays that Gronk has made?
No.
Because I haven't seen really an inconsistent Gronk in the first two games. I've seen pretty much the guy I remember. I've wondered why maybe he hasn't been more a part of the offense, especially earlier.
Early.
It seems like later in games they go to him, you know, after slow start. They haven't go to him a lot early.
No, that's because they're going to the new guys early. They go to Lloyd, they go to Edelman. It doesn't work. Uh-oh, we better go to Gronk.
That's what it looks like. But I haven't seen him sort of, you know, dropping passes, not getting open, not being the guy that he was last year.
And we're taking and the
as
porn
you said,
star's word for it.
Not even just a porn star. A porn star who retired and had like a mental breakdown on like a YouTube video saying, I'm doing this for my, like this rambling. She's out of her bleeping mind.
Right.
And as Andy said, he has two touchdowns. Two touchdowns.
As opposed to the really sane porn stars.
Don't lump that. You don't think there are porn stars who
I don't
just
think she's
a
puntos?
What?
You said puntas.
Oh. isn't that a swear in
Chester's
Spanish?
In Portland.
Puntos?
Hey, Chester, how you doing?
I think it is.
Hey, fellas, what's going on? How you doing?
Good.
Hey, first time, long time. I'm a podcast guy, so I don't get to call in very much, but, you know,
got
laid
pretty
off. Fired up after hearing the Tuesday show, and actually just picking up my daughter here from kindergarten. I thought I'd give a quick call in, you know.
Okay, watch your language.
Yeah, so I won't say anything inappropriate if you have a young daughter in the car.
Pardon me. Anyway. You can tell my passion's bleeding through here at this point. You know, I'm a restaurant guy. I guess nobody had it harder than I did on Sunday. I was, you know, having a Sunday ticket, find out my contract got canceled that morning. So I ended up following the game on my phone. And I got to tell you, my blood was boiling towards the end there.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of hoping to see the replay on NFL Network, but doesn't seem to be the case. Anyway.
Things just aren't working out for you, are they?
Nah. Yeah. You know, my opinion here is I think we all need to pump our brakes a little bit. You know, it's painfully obvious that our old line needs some help. And from what I hear, guys, sounds like they want to give Waters some money. Is that right?
Well, they offered him more, and he turned it down.
Reportedly. We don't know what they did. That was reported by the Boston
Globe. He doesn't want to. He wants to, if he plays football, he wants to do it close to home, which is Texas.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of his career, I guess I could.
All right.
Okay, I guess
now they canceled his cell phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Just to recap the Boston Globe and the Brian Waters situation, they have now reported that they've offered him more money, less money. He's not coming back. He is coming back.
And they've known all of this for about 6 months.
And all of it they've known all along.
Right. As expected, as reported before. Yeah.
Paul's fighting the Globe.
Well, you didn't find that one ridiculously contradictory to what their previous reports were?
That's what they do.
Hey, guys.
They don't reference.
Shane Vereen's the starter. Shane Vereen's going to be.
But they don't reference the previous reports.
Earlier in the show, Eric, Andy said that Winslow is the same as Hernandez. James is saying Winslow is not Hernandez. Hernandez played six different positions in week one. He plays special teams, tight end, wide receiver, running back, and he actually blocks. Please tell me how Winslow is similar to that. They play the same position at tight end, and they both have hands, but Winslow isn't in the same league as Hernandez.
Well, I would go the other way because Winslow plays 16 games and Hernandez doesn't.
Statistically, he's in the same league, and Hernandez doesn't block.
Well, he did block pretty well against
Tennessee.
They
all block. Well, he was trying to block
pretty
on
well
against
Tennessee.
The play
and,
that he
yeah.
was hurt.
No.
Well, you have to.
I'm not saying that he's not ever asked to block.
Randy Moss blocked,
he's not
too,
really
he's not
over. He's not an overly effective blocker.
Who's better?
Hernandez.
Okay. Oh, obviously. But
Hernandez,
don't pretend that Winslow hasn't had a very productive career even last year.
And defensive Andy here, Hernandez became what I think a lot of people thought Winslow was going to be.
And what Winslow played with Gronkowski and
by the
Brady
way,
what
Winslow was. Winslow's gone to Pro Bowls, or at least one.
Oh, yeah, he's
you know,
Pro
so
Bowler.
Let's not just like, you know, I'm not a huge Winslow fan.
He's
because,
done it without quarterbacks, without receivers, without running backs, without good teams. Mm-hmm. Why do we always have to rip people?
That's what I think. Why is it always by saying one guy's good, you're automatically saying the other guy's bad?
Actually,
that's what you say all the time.
I was saying a positive that they were fortunate. They were fortunate to fill a void with, I think, a pretty good candidate, a Pro Bowl caliber athletic slot
good situation.
Tight end
type. Yeah. Good situation.
With a knee that could blow up at any time.
Right.
But hasn't.
It
but
looks
hasn't.
Like exploded. So it looked like it exploded on the inside.
A bomb went off.
But hasn't. I mean,
John Rooks
like
here. Hey, John.
Hey, friend.
What page are you going to be reading off from the playbook today?
Weep Wednesday.
The playbook.
65 toss power trap.
The playbook that figures out a way to, you know, see if we can't
wide open.
Squeeze Brian Waters in here somehow.
Oh,
yeah. Could convince him that, you know, he needs to come to New England.
And you believe that that is a necessity?
Well, I think it would certainly solve a lot of the ills right now. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would certainly solve some of the ills. He clearly wants to play. Tend to agree. I mean, I think he clearly wants to play football only on his terms.
How low would what is that? Noise?
What's that?
Somebody's
phone. Little Morse code.
How much are you?
It's called an audio fart.
Okay.
How much are you willing to bow down to Brian Waters? What would you be willing to do?
I don't know. I think they've already bowed down as far as they can go. I mean, if all the reports are true that they offered him a significant amount of more money.
But what about beyond money? Would you let him skip Monday, Tuesday, show up, you know?
No, he can't.
Well, wait a minute.
Why are they
laughing?
They
did that with Roman
like
Pfeiffer.
Game day.
But that's what I was
When Roman Pfeiffer was here, they allowed him to go home
that's
to
true.
California.
That's true.
See,
they did.
He missed Mondays.
Yeah, he missed Mondays.
And Tuesdays.
No. Well, Tuesdays are off.
Yeah. No, I know.
If they were able to do that, if they were able to do that in the past for him and he would agree to do it, then sure, why not?
I wouldn't. I'm sick of it.
But Andy was going with the whole, you know, at what point is it too much?
Right.
You know, if he's not around for, you know, is Wednesday? You know,
and is it that
that's
much
not
of
really
a
big game plan day?
Yeah,
I mean,
seriously.
Come on.
Show up on Friday, hit the walkthrough play, and go home Monday?
Yeah. All right.
And this is a guy that we really like. Imagine
love
if
him.
We didn't like him.
Love him. But I love the idea of team and what you need to be dedicated to more.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, it's.
He's not Michael Jordan. We don't have the Brian Waters rules.
Yeah. Fred used the term. I think the ship has sailed at this point.
They
might bring him back, but I'm not sure it's the right thing to do at this point.
All right, John. Well, have a good show.
Yes,
plenty of emails we didn't get to that you can. And, of course, at 4 o'clock is Cold Hard Football Facts with Kerry Byrne. So stick around for that.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.